high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the world, all 24 time zones covered. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. And lots and lots to talk about tonight. Let me tell you about a few things that you probably should make your way to my website to check out. Number one, the mass consciousness experiment we did. The graph originally had the wrong date. That somebody put September. You know, September's on everybody's mind, and I guess Dean Radin just put September down there by mistake. It was indeed October. Number two, the times indicated on the graph, as I think we now have indicated on the graph itself, are Pacific times. This graph came from Dean Radin, who put it in the Pacific time zone. So it is indeed Pacific time zone now. Number three, with regard to the whole mass consciousness experiment we did, I'm going to wait a while. I'm going to think about all of this. It was obviously a very profound occurrence. Maybe a little too profound for me. And so before doing anything else at all, I'm going to give it some very careful thought, and I've been doing that, of course, all weekend long. Boy, have I been thinking about it a lot. So we're gonna do more, I think, but not until I have really carefully considered the consequences of what we're doing. Item two, on my website right now, is a brand new ghost photograph. Make your way to What's New, and you will see, as the second item down, chest ghost and cowboy ghost photos. Take a look at the chest ghost. That's a scary one. No question about it. That's a scary one. We will continue, by the way, to accept ghost photographs now through the ghost-to-ghost that we will do on Halloween. So, by all means, continue to send in your photographs, but this is a really good one. So check it out. Maybe the player is deaf. I don't know. That's on my website at artbell.com. Also, oh my gosh, Crystal Gale. I'm going to play that song. Those of you who, you cannot buy this song yet in any stores. I have had easily 3,000 emails about this song. People went absolutely bonkers. So I'll try and play it in this half hour. Prepare your tape recorders, because you can't buy this yet in a store. Maybe one day, but not now. And speaking of Crystal Gale, also on my website, if you go to where it says Crystal Gale visits Art in What's New, I've got a couple of new photographs up there of her in my studio when she was here. And I did not originally include those that I sent to Keith. They are now up there. So, beautiful Crystal in my studio. Looks much better in my chair than I do. The big news tonight, unfortunately, is anthrax. And it is big news tonight. Have any of you been following the way this has developed? There's something really rotten in Denmark. Originally, of course, there was what they said was just an isolated, totally isolated case in Florida. And we have now progressed to the point where tonight CNN is reporting that there are 42 people who have been confirmed exposed to anthrax now, 11 actually infected with anthrax. 28 exposures alone on Capitol Hill. The House and Senate offices will remain closed. Anthrax, they now believe, killed two postal workers. A second postal worker has now died from a facility that delivers mail to the nation's capital and left two more hospitalized. The Postmaster General said the mail and our employees have become the target of terrorists. That was John Potter. Now, something is really askew here. Either they don't know, or we are not being told the truth. Now, I certainly suspected there would be more anthrax cases. I'm sure all of you did, as time went by and people began to determine they were infected. However, in watching the, in quotes please, experts on CNN during the day, I found them completely wanting in terms of being able to explain how all of these postal workers have been infected, particularly with the inhaled deadly form of anthrax, when everything I've heard says the letters were sealed and, in fact, were even taped up. So nobody really has reasonably any explanation for how all of these people have become infected. Nobody. Something else that we don't know about, or they will not tell us, is going on. And I sure would like to have some idea of what they think the threat is right now. While we all still have to keep this in perspective, and keeping in mind that 20,000 people a year die from the flu, right? There is more to this story now than they're telling us. And as I've watched it developing, I've been sort of saying to myself, liar, liar, pants on fire, or you guys don't know what's going on. I'm not really sure how to discuss this with you except to say that. You know, I either feel like they are lying, or I would rather believe they just don't know and they're finding out, or we're finding out as they find out, assuming they find out first, and that's probably a pretty safe assumption. So in the next hour, we will have a guest on this particular subject, Stephen Quayle, who wrote a book on this particular subject called Breathe No Evil, appropriately titled, huh? Breathe No Evil. Iraq's diplomatic missions in New York and in Washington appear to have received letters, came in last week, containing a suspicious powder. It's being tested. U.S. jets struck Taliban frontline positions today as the U.S. tried to pave the way for the opposition to advance on Kabul. And we are just bombing day after day after day after day. Check this out. A decade later, this relates, a decade later, Americans still don't know how far special operations forces went inside Iraq during the Gulf War. Some parts of the fighting in Kosovo and even Vietnam, even Korea, remain sketchy. In other words, they keep secrets. Because how would you expect them not to? They keep secrets. And you can bet there's a lot of secret stuff going on right now. We'll be in open lines this hour. Listen, as you know, I'm a ham radio operator. I am receiving messages from ham operators all over the place right now. There is something weird going on, and maybe we can act as some sort of coordination point for this information, and we can figure out what's going on, because I sure as hell don't know. From about 2.5 megahertz, that's just some bit above the broadcast band, all the way up to 16 megahertz or even higher, there is currently what sounds like a radar sweep. Those of you who are in radio or have been in radio know what a radar sweep sounds like. This radar sweep, however, covers three-quarters, a little better than half at least, of the entire shortwave band, and it sounds exactly like sweeping radar. And I have no idea what could cause this. Some think it has something to do with HARP. Some are talking over the horizon radar, but we don't need that anymore. We have satellites. So in the last number of days, there is a gigantic and very strong emission. And by the way, we can't so far pin it down to any particular location. That's also very worrisome. In other words, we don't know what direction it's coming from. And normally, there shouldn't be a problem with direction finding. So I want to alert the shortwave listeners out there to this bizarre signal. Whether it's it might even be something connected with what's going on in Afghanistan. I have no idea. May not have a thing to do with it. might have to do with HAARP, but I don't think so. It would appear as though we're dealing with an entirely new phenomena of some sort. A lot of you will remember the what we called the Russian woodpecker. That was over the horizon radar that Russia was experimenting with during the closing years of the Cold War. But this phenomena, this is entirely new. So something really, really weird is going on out there. All right, Crystal Gayle again for a moment. Crystal Gayle has been inducted into the Native American Music Awards Hall of Fame. Quoting Crystal, "This is such an honor just being out here and being part of something that I feel so much a part of." The Native American Music Awards Hall of Fame. So the record that Crystal sang about this program, and gave to me on her visit the other day would seem completely appropriate to play here. I know that a lot of you really, 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 thousands of you actually want copies of it. And I'm sorry it is not yet available, but I've been overwhelmed with email. I mean, it's been astounding the amount of email on this song. Listen carefully to the words. They're very meaningful to anybody who has been a listener to this program for any time at all. And you might try and categorize this record. It's not country. It's not pop. It's not folk. It's perhaps a little new age, but it's not that either. I'm not exactly sure what it is. It falls into a whole new category. Anyway, cleanly, I'm going to play it for you. Here it is, Crystal Gayle, and it's called Midnight in the Desert. right, there you have it. That's Midnight in the... Boy, that's an awesome song. Absolutely awesome. A couple of new photos of Crystal in my studio. I don't know how she did it. She's obviously a listener. And because she captured the spirit, the idea, the feel... Everything about the program was captured in one song, and she did that. Could only have been done from a fairly frequent listener. All right, open lines. I promised open lines we have. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Kenny in Fort Lauderdale.
Kenny, I've got a lot of echo here for some reason.
Let me turn my radio down. That might be the problem. Okay. Anyway, yeah, that's quite a haunting masterpiece by Crystal Gill.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, I'm with the Art Bell Chat Club down here, and I just want to say I'm listening to the show, and I've always had a strong belief in this mass mind control. And I remember...
No, it's not mass mind control, sir. mass mind control would mean that we are trying to control the minds of masses. We're not doing that.
Well, I meant it in a different way.
You mean mass consciousness?
Okay, well, my terminology might have been a little off, but I meant the same thing.
Yeah, mass mind control is something the U.S. government would like to do.
Mm-hmm. Or mass telepathy, possibly.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, what I'd like to say is I remember that great experiment you did with all the people where you all changed the weather and... You had all the Art Bell listeners
yes.
Unite for that. And I don't know if I haven't heard every show. I mean, I listened to a lot of shows, but I don't know if I missed anything. But I'd like to propose to all the Art Bell listeners and yourself to unite and do another major experiment in the sense of putting out some kind of, I guess, the same type of mind power to basically... destroy all these terrorists in our country that are sending out the anthrax letters.
Yes, all right. Well, I look, I'm getting a million emails like that. I understand how you feel about that, but this whole thing is so profound and the consequences are so unknown that I am not about to begin have any sort of mass concentration for anybody's death, even one of our enemies, because listen to me, we don't understand enough of this. And so I'm just going on pause with regard to what I'm going to do. I'm going on the great pause. Hit the pause button and wait and think and contemplate, possible consequences of, further action. I hope you understand. I'm getting a million suggestions like this, and I have discussed, you know, with a number of people the idea of doing something like that, but I am 1,000 miles away from endeavoring to do something as possibly irresponsible as that. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Good evening. Hello from KSFO 560 in San Francisco.
That's a way to do
Mickey
it from
Mickey and Jack.
You bet.
You know, in regards to the anthrax, I can't help but wonder if perhaps some things are being kept from us. For instance, I don't know how many people remember about a week or so ago a report of a 17-month-old baby supposedly having gotten anthrax.
That is correct.
At
the studios of ABC, yes. Sir.
And yet they've been found thoroughly clean and void of anthrax.
I know.
So
I know something else is going on. There's no question about it. Right now, the facts don't add up.
They don't. And another thing they're keeping rather low-key is particularly those earlier cases in Florida where the people started the medication on the Cipro.
Yes.
And the toxic shock syndrome many of them have gone into and repetitive convulsions and ambulance visits to the new office site.
Mm-hmm. Well... I agree with you. There is a lot right now that we don't know about. Either they don't know or they're not telling us, or perhaps a combination of both. It's hard to know. But the way this is developing is all wrong. The facts and the way it is developing do not add up at all. How could all of these postal workers have been infected in the way they have? If there were sealed letters. I just don't buy that at all. Not at all. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Mark in KCMO 710 country.
Kansas City, yes, sir.
That's correct. By the way, since you're on it, the thought of the postal thing was if one of those letters had got torn open, it could have possibly infected the machine that handles all the mail.
Well, that's I suppose that's something to think about, but I bet they've looked into that 10 times over.
I'm sure they have, but yeah. That could explain some of the incidents. I don't know. That was just a by the way.
You know, the whole thing just sort of feels wrong, doesn't it, to you?
I don't trust the thing that comes out of Washington's mouth, that's for sure.
Yeah.
In fact, that's kind of the gist of why I'm calling today. I'd heard this morning on Free Speech TV that the CIA and various military arms of the U.S. government had been out buying up all the satellite coverage of all the problems where we'd been bombing. And then Rumsfeld came on later today and said, well, there's no proof of us bombing this hospital and various other sites. I don't know all of where they've supposedly hit, but how can anything be shown to be right or wrong if they're sitting on all the prints?
The answer is my point. Yeah, your point is very well taken, sir. You can't. The answer is you can't. You can't know if we're being told the truth, and you can almost assume we're not. Anybody crazy enough to think that America does not propagandize during times of war its own people like every other country in the world is nuts. We do. We propagandize our own people. It's part of what you do in a war. And so you've got to be very, very, very careful about what you believe and what you don't. I saw a news conference with Rumsfeld earlier today, and there was a general who was speaking, and some idiot of a reporter got up and asked, you know, regarding the special forces insertion. This reporter wanted somebody with a camera to go parachuting in with the special forces people. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? It's a kind of an operation where you parachute a very few paratroopers in. They do some special work, and then they're extracted. And this reporter wanted somebody with a camera to go along and parachute down. Oh, please. But don't ever think we're not propagandized, because we certainly are. I'm Art Bell from the High Desert. This is Coast to Coast AM.
What will you do when you're lonely? No one waiting by your side.
Not the same old news. It's brand new talk. Aikman and Doyle, mornings at 5 on Talk Radio 710 KCMO.
Good morning from the high desert. I want you to listen to the words of some of this and see if it doesn't ring true for the situation we're in today. Listen carefully.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone. And actor out alone. Riders on the storm. There's a killer. Hey.
Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. Or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
There's something that feels wrong about this anthrax story. The way it's developing, the way it's being reported, all kinds of things feel wrong about it. And I've just begun to acquire that feeling the last few days over the weekend watching the coverage carefully. It just doesn't feel right. I see that I have absolutely been bad, and I haven't done what I should have done regarding commercials, so I'm going to have to do that right now. You know, I understand I operate a lot on gut feelings. I really do, all the time. But when I get strong ones, I can't help it. You can't go on here for hours every night and not express what your feelings are. And my feelings about this anthrax thing are not good now. They're that something is really wrong, either with the reporting or with the facts or with the scale of the attack. I'm not really sure what, but something feels askew. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
I'm coming from Washington. My name is Jesse.
State or D.C.?
State.
All right, Jesse, welcome.
First, I'd like to say I've been listening since I was 11 years old. I am 17 now.
Thanks for reminding me.
My view on this anthrax thing is the media has been talking about it for some time, way before cases ever sprung up.
Mm-hmm.
And I picture a U.S. side of the terrorism. The guys inside the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
are sitting on the couch watching CNN and saying, anthrax, that's a good idea.
You think so, huh?
It seems logical. I mean,
then who's doing it?
Who, I don't know. However, I'm absolutely sure.
But my understanding of the purity of this anthrax is such that it wouldn't be whipped up in somebody's kitchen. You know, this has to have been done in a lab, according to everything I've heard. Pretty good lab.
The terrorists are very well funded.
Yeah.
So certainly they have the money to either pay people off in a lab to get them anthrax or to set up a lab themselves.
Well, if they've already cultured, so they've certainly got probably as much of it as they want right now. There's just something wrong with this story. And the way it's developing is wrong.
Yeah.
You feel that too?
Yes, I do. It seems it's like it's going to escalate even further.
Yeah.
Than it already has.
Yeah, I think that's a given. It's going to escalate further. Thank you. Even if it's just whatever attack has already occurred, you know, I knew that there would be people that had gotten sick and had come in contact with this that would not get reported for some time. But the way it's developing to me is really worrisome. Listening to the experts on CNN today, I was not at all comforted. It's like the experts, you know, they were throwing up their hands. They didn't know what to say. Judy, they would say, that's one mystery, and we just don't understand it. There's an awful lot about this we just don't understand. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, sir.
Hi.
How are you doing tonight?
Okay, where are you?
This is Dean in Tampa, Florida.
All right, Dean.
Yes, sir. The anthrax story, I know what you mean. Something is not quite right. It's almost like things that make you go, And one thing, the experts, to me, is what truly is putting the fear into us, because they wheel these people out. And not only do they talk about the nuclear safety, you know, the fact is the water, the fact that the actual bioterrorism themselves, they're actually, it's almost in a sense where when we actually do ask them the question and seek answers, they look at you, like you said, and don't really give us anything convincing, which to
That's
me
right.
is not really a positive thing.
You're exactly right. Maybe that's what it is. I'm not sure. In the beginning, they were kind of comforting, even though it was a shock to everybody. Oh, my God, anthrax. But they were comforting in that, you know, everybody's saying, oh, isolated case, must be amateurs, blah, 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 blah. You remember in the beginning, if you remember how this story began, there was one man in Florida, and they immediately came out and said, oh, he's an outdoorsman. He caught it outdoors. Do you remember?
Exactly. It was the spores in the caves.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then all of a sudden it began rapidly changing, and now it's going through another change, and this one's making me a bit nervous.
Well, you know what it reminds me of, sir, is the West Nile virus, the kind of way that started out. It was almost like it began as a little mosquito bite here, and it just kind of creeps up on you, and before you know it, it starts working its way down. In fact, living here in Florida, I almost remember watching it like a weather front as it moved down from the upper east state.
That's
and
right.
It was ironic there as they were telling us how each way it could be carried. And that's the scary thing about it. Just like the common flu and things like that, it can be carried throughout.
Well, West Nile, you mean, yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
and
of course.
One thing I would like to say, and I'll end this conversation by saying that you started off this last half of the first hour with the song Riders on the Storm.
Yes, sir.
That song actually, ironically, flashed me back to the point where I started actually looking for, how you say, a moment of clarity. Do you remember, recall in 1989 when there was a CNN camera crew stuck in a truck being chased by a tornado and they got trapped underneath a bridge?
I remember it graphically, as I've watched that many times.
Yes, sir. That was what they call that the finger of God. In fact, that was the day in 1989 I started recording live television and CNN, and then the Berlin Wall came down, Russia, the whole Gulf War situation, the election. And in fact, I started putting the pieces together. Well, I kind of took a break for a while during the Clinton era, but I came back again and started recording in 1999. And then I went back again, almost far back, was like when William McKinley was standing in front of a crowd in 1896 talking about the gold standard. And if you look at the past, and you actually start putting the pieces together, including the actions after World War One and World War Two, starting in 1948, you actually see that clarity that you get from now, because that's one thing we don't do anymore, sir. We don't put the pieces together. Each day we get a story that replaces yet another story.
You've got it.
And if you bring up the past, often it's like, well, that's just the past, and it doesn't connect, but it truly does connect, sir, if you put the pieces together.
Well, you're sure not suffering for any material now, are you?
No, sir. And in fact, ironically, each day it writes the ending, because I moved down here to Tampa, Florida, 10 days before the election. The whole election situation, that was one thing that totally started writing in. Now with this situation, and I'll make this short by saying the media, if you watch the Gulf War, in fact, I've got a lot of the Gulf War live, the way the media was handled by George Bush Sr., they literally were put in buses and the censors and everything. In fact, the first 10 days, they used to show cleared by Iraqi censors, cleared by British censors, cleared by United States
censors.
Right. Suddenly that disappeared 10 days later. Everything changed for the way the media is. The son is learning from the father how to control the media.
You're dead on the money. Thank you very much. There, in the first hours, I don't know if any of you remember, of the Gulf War, there were some incredibly graphic pictures which were taken from an Apache helicopter, which was attacking the front lines. They very quickly censored those and removed those from CNN. And so it just goes to show that we are, of course, propagandized. Don't interpret that to mean that I think that we're wrong or on the wrong moral side of the argument, because I think we're squarely on the right side. All I'm suggesting to you is it is a natural course of events that we propagandize our own people. And I suppose it's easy to forget that. You know, when you're watching CNN or you're watching one of the other network nightly newscasts or whatever your news source is, it's easy to forget. And we've got a free press, but that doesn't mean that we don't have a propagandized press, because we do. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Hi there. I wanted to talk about something different.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about, the experiments, the few experiments that you did,
yes,
with your listening audience about the collective mind.
Yes.
Did you ever think that you could get the collective mind to make a simple, not an elaborate one, but a simple crop circle?
Did
you ever consider that?
That's an interesting idea. It is interesting. I suppose
not one of these beautiful, big, elaborate ones that you see, but just a simple one to see if you could get the tap into the collective mind and have it done.
I'll put that down on the list of ideas. How's that?
All you'd have to do is use your webcam, you know, put a picture up.
I understand. No,
that you want them to form,
right,
and a place on the map,
right,
that you want it to be,
right,
like in the middle of the wheat fields.
Yeah, yeah, but see, with my luck, and here's just to illustrate what I'm worried about with doing
you'd make
these
a tornado.
Well, I'm not so worried about making tornado. No, we'd probably make the crop circle all right, but with our luck, it would be in downtown Houston. You know, it was cut through concrete or something. I just, and I know that's getting out there on the edge and being silly, but I really am not sure what the consequences.
You're afraid.
Yeah, I'm
afraid.
You're
afraid that your listening audience might actually be able to form one.
Well, they might. It's just where it might end up or what the consequences of it might be that I'm concerned about. No, it's an idea. It's a pretty good idea, actually. You know, when you get right down to it, she's right. You could put a photograph of what you intended up, and then you could take a shot at it. It's just where it would come down. I don't know that we have this all that well refined as yet. Now, I hope as you listen to these calls, everybody, that you understand, and as you listen to the voices of the people who are making the various suggestions, why I'm being very cautious, and I'm going to take time to think about all of this before proceeding. Because if we were to proceed with about half these ideas, who knows what havoc we could wreak. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Oh, my line. There, now you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, yes, I'm on now. I'm calling from 560 KSFO Art. This is
Sam.
Ricardo.
Yes, sir. Hi, Ricardo.
And
hey.
Thank you for taking this call. I tried
sure.
to reach you on the last round on this issue to do with mind influence experiment.
Oh, yes.
And it was a great PSI experiment in itself. And I just wanted to throw in a major caveat with this type of factor when you're calling for intercessory prayer on a particular person or being. Usually, if you have a very prominent figure such as Rush Limbaugh.
Yes.
Or, let's say you were trying to, say you wanted to have a brain aneurysm on that fellow in the Middle East.
Bin Laden. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or you wanted to heal ears.
Yes.
Now, this is a very prominent person on both sides. You have a good person and an evil person.
That's right.
And that goes on both sides of a coin. When you look at this, there are millions of people praying for the downfall of someone who might be a right-wing person as well as a very, very left person, as his evil-doing friends who are also praying for his good factors.
Yeah, I know.
To work their evil on the good.
I know.
I understand your trepidation and your fears, but things have been done on this level where there is intercessory prayer done on microorganisms and bacteria and fungus, and there's many experiments that have been done in Tennessee and also in Pennsylvania, in Bordeaux, France, by prominent scientists and physician researchers from 1 to 15 miles away from the control groups, which were fungus and petri dishes that were preyed upon to either thrive or die,
yeah,
retard their growth.
Yeah.
And they've all been proven, and I'll give you a book.
No, you don't have to prove it to me. I'm well aware, sir, of the experiments. And my caution involves the following. Instead of using just a small control group, which has been proven effective, we're using millions of minds.
Can I put this into one factor. We have anthrax out there in many types right now, and spores,
yes,
and also in the cutaneous factor of anthrax, also smallpox. So I wanted to put this out to the public arena that microorganisms don't think. They don't have a negative or a positive. They don't have a soul. We don't think of them as a human being, which is factored into heaven or hell or good or evil.
Right.
So we could actually have an experiment, Art, which prays away these items that may be secreted away in the United States, in Europe, what have you, in Iraq.
Could
Iran.
Be, sir. I'm not doubting what you're saying for a second. It may be that we could do that. I don't know. I just know that at this juncture, I have made the decision to pause for a while and really contemplate the implications, the profound implications of all of this. And as you can see, again, I offer up to you folks, everybody's got an idea, and everybody's got a target, and everybody's, and that's fine. And I understand that you're thinking that way and that you are as fine, but I don't think I'm prepared to proceed for a while. I want to contemplate this. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
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 Hi, Art?
Yes, that's me.
This is Cindy in San Diego.
Hi, Cindy.
I enjoy your show a lot.
Thank you. We don't have a lot of time, so let her rip.
Right. I've been trying to think outside the box.
Uh-huh.
And I don't like the information I'm getting about the anthrax either.
I know.
And I asked my veterinarian about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I understand veterinarians come in contact with it from time to time. He told me that anybody could order anthrax.
So I've heard.
And
well, I think actually you have to be a legitimate research something or another to order it, but people have been known to be able to fake that, so essentially anybody could get it, you know.
And then I was thinking, if I were trying to do something that wasn't right, I don't think I'd mail something from my own hometown.
Well, maybe they didn't. Has that occurred to you?
Yeah.
I mean, they probably didn't. Thank you very much. We are woefully out of time. Yeah, I'm sure that they traveled and then dropped them in the mailbox someplace or another on the way from point A to point B. I doubt it was somebody with that hometown in New Jersey. I doubt that seriously. We're going to be talking more about anthrax with our guest coming up next.
Your old friend came by today.
Of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Certainly is. Coming up in a moment, Stephen Quayle, who's author of the book Breathe No Evil. Good title, huh? Breathe No Evil. A primer for understanding bioterrorism, first published in 96. Additionally, he's authored Blueprint for Survival, Investment Perspectives on Precious Metals, Aliens, and Fallen Angels, The Sexual Corruption of the Human Race. Quayle is currently writing a book called Colossus, A History of Giants and Lost Civilizations. He is the former editor and publisher of Survival Quest and Security and Survival Chronicles monthly newsletters that deal with dangerous and perilous events and how to prepare for them. Listen to some of this. For the past 7 years, he's been articulating the need for American citizens to become aware of bioterrorism and weapons of mass destruction. Upon publication of Breathe No Evil, Quayle upstaged the mainstream media by years, actually, in spelling out in great detail the effects of bioterrorism. Prior to the publication of his book, Breathe No Evil, Quayle went on record to predict a major chemical or biological attack in a major world city 3 weeks later. You may recall the cult releasing nerve gas in Tokyo. Steve continues to shout from the rooftops his concern for the massive loss of life that could happen due to a lack of civil defense and preparation in the public and private sector. All of a sudden, these bells are ringing a little louder, aren't they? Breathe No Evil was written to be an anecdote for fear by informing people of the necessary steps they should take in preparing for biological and chemical terrorism. The following are some of the more dramatic events that Quayle has identified long before the mainstream media news even had a clue. In 97, he said that the following year would bring unheard-of temperatures approaching 130 degrees. In June of 98, India reached 129 degrees. He was on record in December of 97 that the coming El Nino would be the worst ever due to the superheating of the ocean's water in the South Pacific. The rest is history. He declared one year prior to the microburst that touched down, you may recall, in the Root National Forest near Steamboat Springs, Colorado, that we'd see winds approaching 350 miles an hour. Scientists said wind speeds of this magnitude were not feasible. 200-year-old trees over a 30-mile stretch were snapped like matches. Scientists estimate the jet stream was forced down for a split second, wreaking devastation equaled only to the meteor strike at Tunguska, Siberia. Quayle was the first to detail for the public's knowledge Gabriel's Fist, an asteroid coming at the Earth out of Pegasus that is on a collision course with Earth, and how the world's brightest scientists met monthly to discuss their plans of when to inform the American people. And on and on and on. You get the idea. So coming up in a moment, I think you're going to enjoy, as much as one can enjoy this subject, Stephen Quayle. Stay right where you are. Now, as promised, here is Stephen Quayle. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening. Great to have you here. I guess I would like to begin by asking what started you on this whole road to end up writing something like Breathe No Evil? I mean, how did you get started?
Well, with the breakup of the former Soviet Union, it was apparent that there were going to be a lot of unemployed scientists and that there was going to be a lot of technology that was going to go into the world markets.
Mm-hmm.
What concerned me is I started picking up by different people I was talking to around the country, around the world, the fact that a lot of the bioweapons engineers from the former Soviet Union were going into Iraq, Iran, Syria, and Libya. And it dawned on me, and obviously became pretty apparent, that this is something the West was not anticipating because there had been nothing pretty much published about it. And it was one of those things, Art, that was kind of hush-hush. It was something that no one really wanted to talk about, and hence I was not able to find a publisher for my book in 96, so I had to self-publish. It was one of those taboo subjects.
Yeah, actually, that's right. It has been very, very taboo. Even now that we're right in the middle of an apparent anthrax attack, I find the subject is treated pretty strangely by the media. What's your take on the story so far, Steve?
Well, first of all, you know, I think it's being treated really strangely, and I think that once again we have the spin masters trying to put the cutesy emphasis on it and take away from what it really is. Let's just spell it out. This is a biological attack upon the United States by the same people that are behind the World Trade Center. There are only a few nation states that have the sophistication to aerosolize or weaponize the anthrax that we're seeing going to the different senators' offices, congressmen, the news media, and what I think is happening, quite candidly, is that this is a probing event, or what I would call a showcase release, to see what kind of response the United States
yes.
is going to return. And I believe that it's just the preliminary to a greater threat, which would be something along the lines of bubonic plague or smallpox. You know, the Russians have been working for years, actually over a decade, according to a former director of their entire biological weapons program, Ken Alabek, who was a defector, and he said that Russia was working on actual binary biological agents. In other words, combining, for instance, smallpox with what's called the polyhedrous virus, which happens to be an insect virus that basically creates a protein shell around the active biological agent, and in essence taking deadly agent A, really deadly agent B, and making phenomenally deadly agent C.
Hmm.
And I believe that what we're seeing right now is, like I say, it's a probing type attack. You notice they haven't released it in mass yet. They're trying to figure out, and I believe, that we're in for something. Now, the Russians on Wednesday, Vladimir Putin ordered all Russians out of this country
diplomats, etc., and forbid the travel of any diplomats to this country.
Why?
Well, let me give you a little background. I think it'll become apparent. Tatiana Koryagina, who is a Russian economist, one of Putin's closest advisors prior to the World Trade Center, in about late July, early August, was quoted in Izvestia, Pravda, and Kommersant, which is a Russian publication, talking about the United States economy was going to crash around mid-October. She also said the dollar would start to sell off on the 18th or 19th of August. Since the World Trade Center event happened, she said there is a group of very, and this is her words, a group of very powerful people out in the world that are intent on destroying the United States. And as a result, I think that Vladimir Putin, obviously with the former KGB and the intelligence that they have access to, has picked up something, and I believe that people just don't get it, that the Taliban and the jihadites, fundamental Muslim militants, have declared war on the great Satan, and obviously they're willing to blow themselves up and everyone else with it, so the people in the West have what I would say a rather incredible naivety that they don't realize what these people are willing and, in my opinion, getting set to do.
I certainly agree with you that this is some sort of probe attack. If you wanted to create fear and terror, and that's why they're called terrorists, right? You you hit the media, which will certainly spread the word, and they have, and you hit government heads, which they have done. And so all of that so far has worked. But I, you know, there's a lot of things about the current story that I'm not comfortable with and I don't get and doesn't make sense. I've been watching CNN like crazy, like I think most everybody else, and they have expert after expert they bring on, and inevitably they ask them, look, if this stuff was in an envelope, we understand sealed and taped, how could it be that so many postal workers and post offices, you know, main offices, have become infected? How could that possibly be with inhaled anthrax? How could this be? And the experts sit there and have no answers.
And I think that that's one of the issues that's confusing people. For instance, let me give you a good example.
Confusing me, Stephen.
Yep.
So how, what's your answer? Do you have one?
Yeah, I do have one. First of all, the bottom line is you can take specific solvents like DMSO and you can actually put anthrax spores into the DMSO and rub it on the skin, and you can have it absorbed into the skin that way. Also, in about 1986, the American Stamp Collecting Society, I think it's called the American Philatelistic or Society, said that they could even insert the anthrax spores into the stamps art, and that the glue would provide a medium for the growth. This was written up in a publication of theirs in 1986.
Oh, my God. I never even thought of that.
No, and see, here's the thing. Can I tell you something? This thing really troubles me beyond the point of making me just go, wait a minute, what is this? This is absolutely a pathetic attempt to try and make everybody feel good while trying to, almost put the terrorist mind frame into everyone's minds. Here's the deal. The United States government has no effective civil defense, has had none since the mutual assured destruction policy of the Cold War.
Right.
Now we're in a place where we've got to cover our rear ends, and we cannot be proactive, we can only be reactive. And it's my feeling that, the talking heads are going to go on and on and on until somebody says, finally, stop. And I think the best way to deal with that is to get the truth out, and the truth is out there. Obviously, we're dealing with that on your radio program tonight, but I think to confuse is an understatement. What, you know, when things don't add up, one of a former intelligence officer once told me, he said, when things don't add up, Steve, remember, they're presented to be that confusing. They're meant to keep the whole issue off guard. And I think, quite candidly, that we're talking art. If we get into agri-terror, and the ability of terrorists to introduce pathogens into the food chain, we're getting into stuff that you're talking about deaths that are in literally the tens of millions and not just, quote, the low numbers we've seen. Look at Tommy Thompson. One minute we're being told 2 million doses of antibiotics is enough.
I know.
Next minute it's 10 million.
I know.
And what really troubles me is positioning this material around the country is, you know, in 8 different locations. They can't respond fast enough. And Colonel Byron Weeks, who's probably the brightest man I know dealing with, I would call, reality-based issues as it relates to biological and chemical warfare. Chris Ruddy has been doing excellent write-ups on him on Newsmax.com.
Right.
But he said, what makes the American people think of that 2 to 10 million doses of antibiotics that they would even get them? He said the military would, and understand, he's retired military, he said the military and the politicos would seize the available supplies for themselves.
Did you see Tommy Thompson on 60 Minutes?
Yes, I did.
I felt insulted. I watched that program, and I felt truly insulted.
Well, I also agree with that. I would even say this, that not only insulted, I turned to my wife and I said, where is that guy coming from? He is absolutely coming from left field.
Yeah.
Quite candidly, in my opinion, he is absolutely unfit to handle this issue. See, this is a major issue, Art.
Well, you've got to remember that his job, though, might be to, what's the right, I hate to say to come out and lie. His job might be to lie, but his job might be to minimize and calm. And I'm certain that's what he was trying to do, but.
Right. But if you're going to calm people, you calm people with the truth, you know? When I wrote Breathe No Evil, I wanted it to be an antidote for fear because I anticipated, and I think correctly so, that with the lack of attention paid to this, even by the U.S. military, the Defense Department, look, in all of the exercises that the U.S. government, by the way, the U.S. government finally got on the stick about 98, but when the GAO rated their performance, they got flunking and, grades that would make a dropout of high school blush. I mean, they did not do very well. And I think now the only answer is that we've got to get each person prepared on an individual level. My suggestion to Congress and the Senate is they immediately begin to give tax credits for people that will go out and, you know, acquire the necessary stuff. Like, I take great offense at the fact that I'm told not to worry, but yet the gas masks are passed out to the House and Senate members.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Government people and others seem to be getting them while at the same time saying, you don't need a gas mask.
Right.
And I'm not convinced I do need one. I don't know if I need one. Do I need one?
I recommend it, and I'll tell you why. And this is something interesting. You know, the Swiss have had the longest history of peace in the entire civilized world, yet they always prepare their civilian population. Israel is preparing their civilian population. And remember this, Israel has initiated the Samson option, though it simply states that upon any weapon of mass destruction being launched against them or used against them, they simply are going to use their nuclear weapons.
That's right.
And I'm
not convinced that we wouldn't.
We will, and I believe we'll have to. And,
But the question is, against whom?
Well, first of all, we know exactly who this is coming from, okay? And the deal is don't forget that we allowed Saddam Hussein almost a decade after the Gulf War to continue.
Are you saying that's who it's coming from?
I'm saying that's one of the areas it's coming from. I believe that we're going to find out when this whole thing plays out that there is a, if you will, the unseen hand that's pulling the strings on this might be some enemies of the United States that are feigning friendship right now.
Define for me what weapons-grade anthrax is.
Weapons-grade anthrax is anthrax that basically has a consistency and a standardized spore size that basically is a powdered form that has been tweaked genetically so it's not so susceptible to environmental breakdown. And that basically means that you have to have a very sophisticated biolab, and the only people that are known to have that sophistication pretty much are Russia, Iraq, and believe it or not, Cuba, courtesy of the Russians, North Korea. And when you get into all of these scientists that pretty much fled the Soviet Union, you end up with the Middle East countries that now are our antagonists. And I think you're seeing right now the true nature of jihad by the Saudis denying us access to the bases that we have.
All right. The anthrax that was sent in so many places now, you know, Washington, New York, Florida, what kind of anthrax is that? Do you know?
Yeah, well, first of all, there are about 88 strains that they know of, and that's just main strains, you know. They're not even talking about the stuff that's been tweaked to the point where there is no, the stuff that's top secret. But the main thing that they can say, weapons-grade anthrax, just simply means this. it's put into a form where it has a maximum efficacy of being able to kill people.
Is that what we're talking about
here?
Yes,
we are. And even Senator Lieberman, and, you know, he's a rather liberal individual, was stating on, well, I think he was on Face the Nation the other day, and he basically said that this is very highly refined anthrax. You know, what we've got to remember, too, is one of the terrorists right now, Ada, was supposedly suffering from some of the effects of anthrax, and the FBI is investigating whether he was taking Cipro and checking out all of his
that's a good point.
Symptoms. You know, I mean, you know, the interesting thing is Mohammed Atta, or Atta, I don't know if I'm pronouncing
it. I think it's Atta.
Atta. You know, the point is they're going to local pharmacies to see if Atta did in fact get Cipro. Now, the other thing is obviously if he was one of the agents carrying this, he may have been vaccinated. The Russians have a very effective vaccination for anthrax. They've even offered it to us in the last week. Isn't that interesting? We have none, by the way. The only company in America called Bioport Michigan hasn't produced a functional dosage of...
Well, I thought they were inoculating the military. That
they were several years ago, but guess what? They had a little bit of hanky-panky. They were given in excess of $100 million and still can't produce one vial of anthrax vaccine. And so now we've got a real problem because they're the...
Well, then what
only
shots were they giving to our military?
Well, they were giving shots that were not proven, were not FDA approved, didn't even pass the basic clinical tests. And, you know, Joyce Riley and others...
I know there were many people concerned, and
yes,
and some refused to take those shots.
Many, and I would say this in retrospect, rightly so. You see, the thing that is really amazing to me is it seems like when the military screws up, they always want to hide it. And I think that the whole instance of the military being given unproven anthrax vaccine is responsible for a lot.
All right, Stephen, hold it right there. We're at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back. We've got so much to cover tonight with Stephen Quayle. His book is Breathe No Evil. Oh, what an appropriate title, wouldn't you say? I'm Art Bell from the High Desert. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Talk Radio 710 KCMO.
Strange would desire to make foolish people.
Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295.
Good morning. Stephen Quayle is my guest. We're talking about actually some stuff that I don't think you're going to hear on other media with regard to the current anthrax attack going on, and clearly is that, and what else may happen, and what the real truth is. So if you really want to know, I suggest you stick around. In other words, don't touch that dial. I'm always asking myself questions about media coverage, and I know I'm media too, although I don't consider myself media in the sense of CNN and the networks and so forth. I know I'm media, big media, but believe me, I'm sort of not big media, really. Here's what I'm asking myself, and maybe Stephen can answer this for me. So far, I mean, right now we're dealing with a very, very serious anthrax attack. But the media has been talking incessantly about smallpox. And it's almost as though, I mean, there are so many threats out there, and they've been spending so damn much time on smallpox, that it almost feels to me like they're anticipating a smallpox attack. Stephen?
Well, I believe they are, and I believe that, obviously, they're the probably finest example of mind control ever put into any mass media format. I think they would, make a lot of historical figures who were not so savory characters blush at the attempt that they've undertaken to pretty much, I believe, prepare the people. Art, what you're sensing.
Yeah, it's like I'm feeling the other shoe is about to fall, and smallpox is well on its way. That's what it feels like when you watch the media.
Well, the smartest guys in the world out there, Colonel Byron Weeks, some of the defense planners who have left the Pentagon, obviously retired, are saying that's exactly what they're getting us prepared for. And, you know, there's been no smallpox vaccines given since about 1972, 73.
Right.
All of the current vaccine, which I believe is about 8 million doses, are all pretty much scarfed up by the Defense Department, and the CDC will not allow any private citizen to be vaccinated with the current batch of smallpox vaccine.
Why not?
Well, I think probably because it's, again, and this is going to sound pretty offensive to a lot of people, but I believe it's an elitist attitude, just like we talked earlier in the show, that, they can have their gas masks and their antibiotics and their vaccines in reserve, but you and I basically just have to trust the good feeling guys on TV and do nothing. And
a lot of people, by the way, who don't believe the good feel guys on TV are going down to Mexico and buying the antibiotic. I saw a story the other night, and they were going to just start taking the antibiotic. Now that's stupid.
But here's the deal. You can get, and by the way, there are other antibiotics that work on anthrax and bubonic plague, which are both bacteria. So, for instance, doxycycline,
right.
Penicillin, PenVK,
right.
Amoxicillin, a lot of the penicillin derivatives. So Cipro is absolutely not for kids. They don't recommend anyone under 19 take it because it interferes with the growth plates in the child's body. But the other reason is that Cipro is phenomenally expensive. I mean, in the United States and on the internet, goes for $4 to $8 per pill, and you're talking about needing, according to the experts, 60 days worth twice a day.
So yeah, very, very expensive. No,
very expensive. And here's what I recommend. I recommend people get a hold of their doctors, lay out their concerns, and get an inexpensive, a viable antibiotic, not to be taken until the event or until, for instance, people in Florida who are close to the American Media Building, there were people in California that started popping antibiotics because they were concerned with a major attack. Well, that's not the right thing to do. The thing to do, though,
if you think you've been exposed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't take it until then. Otherwise, all you're doing is you're killing off a lot of important stuff in your own belly.
Right.
You're also contributing to an overall overuse of antibiotics. So, yeah, you don't want to take them, but on the other hand, I agree with you and disagree with the experts. If there's a way to have it on hand, that's the smart thing to do.
Right, and this is the other thing, that people need to understand. First of all, there's nothing that the government's going to be able to do in time. And let's just use a hypothetical situation. San Diego, California, there's an anthrax attack down there, a major one, using aerosol dispersal, whether it's a stolen crop duster or trucks just going down the highway. By the way, interestingly enough, one of the most famous guys in the world on this, who's now deceased, Dr. Conrad Chester, basically stated that a single operator terrorist with a truck-mounted 55-gallon drum of anthrax and sprayer could cause tens of thousands of deaths within a city within a matter of hours. Now, that's just one guy in a 55-gallon drum. He said this: a sophisticated, well-trained technical terrorist group with four medium-sized planes were shown to potentially kill 35% of the U.S. population.
Good Lord. Stephen, the experts say the exact opposite. They say, look, these people might have anthrax, which they now have to admit, but they don't have a delivery system. There is no efficient delivery system for it, so you don't really have to worry.
Let me quote what I would say. This is, I would say, the man who spent the largest part of his life perfecting biological weapons and delivery systems, Dr. Ken Allebeck, who is a Soviet defector. By the way, he was on Primetime with Diane Sawyer a couple years ago for a complete hour. basically said they've got the delivery system. See, everyone's talking about sophistication. Colonel Byron Weeks retired, and Allebeck, I think those are the two guys, those are the heroes of my book. They're saying, listen, the weapons grade, whether it's anthrax, bubonic plague, and smallpox, the dispersion systems or the dispersal systems are already so complete that it's just a matter of not, they're not saying if, they're saying when. And that's the thing you're picking up, Art.
Yeah,
that's the other shoe.
It is. Let me ask you this. If we are attacked in some major way with smallpox, what would happen? What should we expect?
Well, first of all, smallpox, you know, first of all, you've got to say, is it a current strain of smallpox or a genetically altered strain of smallpox?
Don't know.
You know, the bottom line is, under the best of circumstances, 35% mortality rate with just the regular strain of smallpox. There's no, by the way, there are no drugs or no chemotherapy or anything. You basically have to isolate the patient, and there's not enough hospital beds, there's not enough doctors or nurses. See, this is the thing, too. I think that the CDC has been very delinquent in not informing doctors and getting them prepared enough to speed for this eventuality and potentiality even years ago.
Well, would smallpox be transmissible once released?
Oh, yes. Smallpox is contagious, very contagious. When you're dealing with a biological weapon, and Colonel Byron Weeks, and by the way, again, Newsmax has got an article written by him, Art, that's just sensational. Byron Weeks, just like the day of the week, and he basically talks about the contagious nature of smallpox, and smallpox would stay in suspension, especially because they've been able to add sort of like a crystalline envelope around the active pathogen. And at this point, it would be absolutely devastating. There you're talking about tens of millions of people dead.
How? Tens of millions. How is it transmitted? How is smallpox transmitted?
Well, it's transmitted in the air. It's transmitted by body fluids. It's transmitted. It's contagious. It's a virus.
Okay. If you were, since you know all about this, if you were to hear that there was a large smallpox outbreak, what would you do?
What would I do?
Yes.
Well, first of all, I'd find out, you know, I tell everyone they should be paying attention to the wind patterns. They should be paying attention to, you know, where the greatest mobility of it is. For instance, if you're living downwind of it, you know that if the winds are blowing at 20 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour, and then it broke out in San Diego, you know that it would take so many hours to get to Phoenix. You basically would want to head at an angle away from it, and quite candidly, any time there's a release, the higher up you can go in altitude, the better off you are.
So you would run?
Yeah, and I mean, and see, but that's the problem. Because, first of all, what I would do, Art, because of, you know, all the years I've spent on this subject, I would basically make sure that if I lived in a target area, and that's any major city with a population probably of over 50,000, I would have a biological mask, you know, a gas mask. And by the way, that's kind of a misnomer. Any mask that's set up for NBC, nuclear, biological, and chemical, will cover you on all this stuff. And I don't believe chemicals will be released on the mass of population because biologicals are more effective.
Sure.
Chemicals would be only used like in an office building or a
sure.
tunnel, subway, railway, whatever.
Gotcha.
But the other thing is, what most people don't understand, you don't just have to worry about a gas mask. You also have to have a suit, or, you know, and the military uses suits that have charcoal sewn between two levels of cloth and gloves, and you'd have to get out of there. See, that's the problem, because the military, the minute this were to break out, let's say in San Diego,
yes.
the thing they would have to do is cordon off San Diego. All the freeways would be shut down, all the roads would be shut down, the airports, etc., and everybody would have to be contained. And did you ever see the movie Outbreak?
Yes.
Well, you know, the military solution to that is basically would only be one thing. At some point, they would have to probably you know, sanitize the area. And look, this is really sad stuff to talk about, but at some point, when you've got that many people dead and dying, you know, they would probably have to use some type of fuel air explosive to cleanse the area, and that's not a very pretty picture. That's why if we would take the effective, I'd say, steps necessary, we tell everybody, okay, tomorrow the president, whoever, goes on TV and says this, at the first sign of a smallpox outbreak, here's who we're going to attack. And we're going to, if you guys release it, we will drop thermonuclear weapons on you. Now, some people say, oh, that's very hard.
How would we know where it came from?
Let me share something with you. When you're dealing with genetically modified organisms or specific smallpox culture strains,
yes,
or bubonic plague,
going to have to come from a nation state of some sort. They would,
yes,
know, in other words.
They would know. Let me say this. They know this stuff. I mean, you know, you've got, and I say this, hopefully some intelligence left in the intelligence communities, but they do know. They monitor this stuff. And for the record, a Soviet strain would be different than a Chinese strain, because even the chemicals they use, whether they're using it to nurture or to grow the specific cultures,
mm-hmm,
those things are unique to the specific forms of this stuff. So they know. They absolutely know.
Now let's talk about vectors for a second. For example, my wife considered money. Money in our capitalist America would be a pretty good vector for some stuff, wouldn't it?
Oh, it'd be an ideal vector, because and for the sake of those listeners, a vector is just the transmitting object or subject,
right.
And the money would be a great, because you know money's got oil on it and grease, you know, just from the body, you know, sweat, etc. And you could basically pass money and everybody would think, oh, that's great, you know, but it wouldn't be great. The other thing, you know, food, this is the really scary thing. The food chain in America is so vulnerable to biological attack that it's absolutely pathetic. Let me give you a good example. You get somebody who is willing to, you know, basically blast themselves into eternity, but they go into a grocery store and go through the produce counters just with a little atomizer spraying the stuff on all the produce. If you're dealing with anything like the plague, which is contagious, and don't forget bubonic plague wiped out a quarter of the population in Europe in the 1300s, you could pretty much infect a city within probably 8 to 12 hours. You'd have a major epidemic on your hand unfolding, and I'm talking major, not a minor one, if you're using either the plague or smallpox.
Before anybody thinks that we're really just doing scare talk, think really hard, folks. These are people who crashed two airliners into the two biggest buildings in New York, the World Trade Center, and more, much more, of course, but they did this killing themselves. So do any of you for one second doubt that if they had their hands on the kinds of things we're talking about right now, they would hesitate to use them? I think the answer to that is clearly not only no, but hell no. Of course they'd use them. And so we're talking, unfortunately, about a pretty strong probability, I'm afraid. The only question is whether they can lay their hands on these things, not whether they'll use them. From a military point of view, you look at somebody's capability and their intention. I think their intention is as clear as can be, as clear as crystal. Obviously, they would do it. Now, the next question is capability. Do you think that Bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, whatever other terrorist networks are out there, can get their hands on this stuff? If the answer to that is yes, then we better get ready.
Well, you know, let me give you a good example on the bubonic plague. Saddam Hussein had a son that defected several years back,
right,
to the United States. He was ahead of not only the nuclear development, but also biological. He told everyone who would listen that one of their plans was to introduce bubonic plague into New York and use the rats as a vector for bubonic plague, which was what the standard vector is when, you know, the plague broke out in Europe and the times it's broken out and been contained. And so no one listened to him, Art, and he ended up obviously getting lured back to Europe and he was murdered by,
yes,
his father.
That's right.
But the point that people need to understand is that they at that point were saying, this is how we're going to do it. And it's an interesting thing. One of the things I think people should watch is where the leaders of the foreign countries go. Before the World Trade Center happened, you didn't have Russia pulling out all of its people. You didn't have Mikhail Gorbachev being ordered out of the country by Vladimir Putin. They knew the World Trade Center was going to be hit. It's my opinion. They knew it. They knew exactly what was going to happen because they could have made the statements weeks prior without that knowledge. But now, okay, now all of a sudden they get out of here. I say the only reason they're getting out of here is because they know something big is coming. And I think it's incredibly naive of the intelligence community and the press, the talking heads, not to be dealing with that issue. But let's face it, the press has an agenda in this country, and it's more of a political and a, in my opinion, a psychological control mechanism on the people of this country. And so we're not supposed to figure this stuff out, Art. We're supposed to watch the mindless barrage of dancing around the issue. And I believe people are asking the right questions, and that's what I tell everyone.
I agree with you. I think we are not supposed to be figuring this out.
Absolutely not. We're to be kept in the dark. And that's why, again, you know, and I would encourage people to buy this book. It was so ahead of its time. And, you know, I didn't write the book to capitalize on it. I wrote the book to save people's lives and to say, heads up. And, you know, it's kind of like the World Trade Center. You know, there were people ordered back into a burning building saying, go back, everything's fine.
Yeah.
Thank God there were more people who said, nothing doing, the building's on fire. And we're not crying fire in a theater. What we're saying is these people are determined to make war on the United States. They are determined to use these, and I got to be candid with you, they do have this stuff available to them. It's like the backpack and the suitcase nukes we heard about. General Alexander Lebed said that they can't account for 200 of them. And it's amazing, they, meaning the Russian government, it's amazing that people don't understand that you've got weapons of mass destruction out there, and you've got the people with the intent, the design, the desire, and now the history of doing it. So, you know, I think people had better wake up really quick. And by the way, this book can only be purchased from me because it's not on Amazon.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask next. Breathe No Evil is the name of the book, and you can only get it from the author. So how do they do that?
They call us at 1-800-424-7870. That's 1-800-424-7870, and I've got a pretty big answering machine, and we'll call everyone back. Obviously, it's late at night. And I don't
How much
to...
is the book?
It's $20.
$20.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's about close to 300 pages, and it's not only defining the different biological and chemical agents, but it tells people what to do. And here's the other thing: by knowing the specific symptoms of the specific outbreaks, you're going to be so far ahead of everyone else. And not that you want to be ahead at anyone's expense, but for those who choose to deny the obvious, you will be aware of the obvious and be able, hopefully, to you know, not only save your life, but the lives of many others. Look, you can still buy even surgical masks, like you see, Art, you know, people wearing in intensive
yes.
care.
Yes.
You know, some of those have built-in filters. Obviously, they have to be able to filter viruses. And you can buy those for $8 to $10. And I think people should carry those literally with them if they're going to be in, you know, going to work. Hey, no one needs to know you've got it. But even that, inhalation anthrax is going to be the most difficult part to deal with. The two postal workers who died, and, you know, look at that. They know it's anthrax. They're saying they're waiting for the test.
Yeah, what do they say about the, it's 90% fatal or something like that?
Actually, it's more, you know, all the fatality figures, and I've talked, these, most of the people say without heroic efforts, it's almost 100% fatal. That's pretty scary. Pneumonic plague, meaning you're inhaling it as opposed to just getting it into your bloodstream, is 100% fatal.
All right. On that note, hold it right there. We'll try and get more truth to you all in the next hour. Stephen Quayle is my guest. I'm Art Bell.
Talk Radio 710
Something
KCMO.
Here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there. Telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. We'll be right back.
Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
How many of you feel like you're being told the truth? As you watch the media coverage, how many of you feel like you're getting the dead flat truth? That's exactly what I thought. We'll be right back. Well, all right, Steve Quayle's book is Breathe No Evil, and it was written long before all of this began to happen because he knew it was going to happen, so he's obviously a very, very interesting guest to have here. His book is $20, and you get it from him only, which goes a long way toward telling you there's going to be a lot of information in it that you're not going to get in the standard media. To be sure. The number is 1-800-424-7870. And he'll correct me if I'm wrong on that. 1-800-424-7870. There was an exercise this year, something called Dark Winter, and it actually was a bioterror exercise in which smallpox was released in the country. What happened during that, Steve?
Well, pretty much the exercise was designed to see how we would respond, and the who's who in the military was involved. The politicians were involved in it. There's some very high-profile politicians, and you know what the outcome of that was, Art. They said that within 2 weeks after a biological attack of a nature that they were hypothesizing, the country would be brought to its knees and would simply not be able to hold together. Now, that's their statement, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very scary, scary thought.
And again, it's smallpox. I hate to harp on this, but the fact that the media has been going so berserk, talking and talking and talking about smallpox, which hasn't happened yet, I don't know, somewhere in the back of my mind, it's like they know the other shoe's coming down, and they know what the other shoe is. Now, maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's the way I interpret this incessant coverage of smallpox.
Well, I don't think you're wrong, and on October 12th, Dr. Ken Alabek, again, that's the former director of the Russia's biological weapons development, all of it was under his command. He testified before Congress, and do you know what he testified about? Smallpox.
Smallpox.
Yep. And, you know, it's interesting because Representative Christopher Shays, Republican from Connecticut, basically set the whole hearing up, and basically they wanted to talk about smallpox. And, you know, even to the degree that anthrax obviously was starting to show up on their radar screens, they wanted to talk about smallpox. Let me tell you something else that ties in with Dark Winter. In 1995, Sam Nunn suggested that a biological terror attack could bring down the United States federal government for a minimal amount of money. Now, he proposed, Art, a hypothetical scenario where basically Middle Eastern terrorists are flying remote control planes into the White House loaded with either chemical or biological agents. He then goes on to say, and I've got his quote in my book, he then goes on to say that and if they wanted to forego the remote airplanes, they could do it as long as they're willing to crash the airplanes themselves. Now, I think that's kind of interesting. That was said, obviously, pretty much about six and a half years before the event. But Dark Winter, what you just brought up, and Sam Nunn, these are people in the know. Obviously, Sam Nunn was on the Senate Intelligence Committee. So, you know, what's amazing to me is we spend trillions, not even billions, but trillions on defense, trillions on intelligence gathering capabilities. We've got every spy satellite in the world. You know, they can read whatever they can read. And the bottom line is they tell me they didn't know this was coming. I don't buy it, Art.
I don't buy it either. Again, you look at two things. You look at intent and capability. We already know about intent. That was settled on September 11th. And as far as capability is concerned, I am afraid that I do believe that they possess these things or can get them easily and probably already have them, and even worse yet, probably already have them in this country. So I would say we're looking at the probability of a wider and bigger attack, not the possibility, not the scary science fiction scenario of what might happen, but even the probability of it. Is that going too far?
No, I think that's being very honest. And see, well, we can tell people that the probability is very high, and that and I would even go one step further. I would say these individuals have these weapons in their hands. They're waiting for the go. You know, this is something people lose track of in terrorism. Terrorism is always got somebody controlling the money behind the scenes. Terrorism is foreign policy with plausible denial attached to it. It doesn't matter if it's Russia or China or Cuba or Syria, Iran, Iraq, you know, all the different countries that the United States has identified as being state sponsors of terrorism. And isn't it interesting now that our president is trying to get, you know, Russia's help and China's help in the war on terrorism?
Yes.
It defies logic. You know, here's something that people need to know, too. One of the other real threats out there is a weaponized version of Ebola, Art. And 2 weeks ago in Afghanistan, an entire village of, I think, about 120 people, did you see that story?
No.
Was exposed to what's called Crimean hemorrhagic fever. All Ebola, whether it's Ebola, Marburg, those are all hemorrhagic fevers. But to my knowledge, better than 50% of those exposed villagers died. Now, that was a showcase release. By showcase, I mean that was meant to send a message, okay?
To our intel community or to, in other words, no, I didn't hear about it. Now,
right.
You're telling me a hemorrhagic fever, an Ebola-type fever?
Yes, Ebola. It's called Crimean hemorrhagic fever.
Oh,
was basically released on a village in northern Afghanistan. Was it released by the Taliban? I believe it was. Was it designed to show, number one, the northern tribes that, hey, we've got some pretty serious stuff? It wasn't even given a second look or even a cursory mention in the mainstream. That's a serious event because
yes,
even Ebola Zaire.
Are you sure about this?
Yes, I am.
What is your reference?
Newsmax.com carried the story. And so the point that I'm trying to make is that this, you know, obviously someone like me who's watching this stuff like a hawk, when I saw that, I said, okay, somebody sending a message. Who is it against? When you can figure out who it's against, you can figure out who's sending the message. And again, you know, Dr. Weeks, and this is all on Newsmax.com, he's got Ebola. He's really concerned with the weaponized version of Ebola. Because
well, you know, I thought, for example, in the various outbreaks in Africa, that a terrorist would be well served to go to Africa if they could get there and get a sample of blood. That's Ebola.
Oh, hey, I'll even do you one step better than that. Everybody and their dogs who has been developing biological weapons programs have gone to Africa and tested them on the indigenous native population. That was the whole basis of the beginning of, you know, the movie Outbreak. Do you remember the scene?
Of course I remember.
I gotta tell you something. That is a haunting image that has stayed with me. I've probably watched that. Every time I wanna say, okay, what is the deal? I watch that movie. It's not that I'm, you know, just fixated on it, but it just shows so clearly, I would say this, the degenerate nature of, you know, some men's hearts and what they're willing to do, and that's what we're up against. See, again...
Let me interject. Do you remember the movie Independence Day?
Of course.
I said it was Armageddon, not Independence Day. Independence Day was a unique lesson, I thought, that has a good parallel here, because the aliens who came in Independence Day, they didn't want anything. They didn't want to change U.S. policy. They didn't want money. They didn't want ransom. They didn't want a fellow aliens released from jail. They didn't want a damn thing, except they wanted us dead.
Exactly.
Dead, dead, dead. That was it. And I thought that was a crushingly important point in that movie. And it seems to me these terrorists are the same way. They don't want any change in U.S. policy. They haven't really asked for anything other than vague references to Israel. Other than that, they just want us dead. And if they have the intent and the capability, then we better watch out because it's probably coming.
Yes, and you know, whether you use the word bioapocalypse or biocide, you know, it's coming. And the other interesting thing about the whole a presentation now, what we're seeing in the world stage is, you know, I think the press is treating this whole thing, and I would say this, Pollyanna does biological weapons. They are so naive as to not even begin to deal with, okay, why do these people supposedly hate us? And if they don't hate us, what are they doing? Just like your illustration from Independence Day.
Yeah.
There is such an, there's such a childlike denial that it's almost like the Vietnam mentality. We went into Southeast Asia not understanding the mindset.
Yes.
And we still have talking heads that, and with all due respect to the female journalists, I mean, I would actually pass out art if there was one original thought coming out of one of their mouths at any point. You know what I'm saying? They just parrot the same thing.
Yes.
I mean, I can't watch it. It makes me crazy.
I understand. And nevertheless, I watch it because, it's really one of the only, you know, as far as the big breaking news goes, they do have that. So it has usefulness of some sort.
Right.
And if there was an outbreak of, whatever, it would certainly make its way to CNN fairly quickly, and at least I'd have some sort of warning, and so I continue to watch. But I share that with you. I watch a lot of the anchors ask uninformed, I'm going to be kind, uninformed questions.
You know, isn't it interesting that when Tom Brokaw got sent, the anthrax letter, he was holding up on television for everyone to see his bottle of Cipro. At the same time, he's doing that because obviously he's exposed. The whole network was saying, but don't do anything. And I think that's what we've really got to get across to your listeners tonight, is that there's no one that's going to do anything for them if they don't do it for themselves. Because by the time the first outbreak or the first release, whether it's the plague or smallpox or a true attack with anthrax, the antibiotics will dry up. You know, the panic, I have a statement, Art. I want people to be victors and not victims.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to do that is to take personal responsibility for their lives and their loved ones. You know, the bottom line is, if you're in harm's way, look, most people have life insurance. If they die, they want to take care of their loved ones or family, their kids, whatever. They have disability insurance. They have all these insurances. But what we need right now is we basically need assurance. And the only way that assurance is going to come is by people taking the necessary steps. It is not dangerous to go ahead and have an emergency supply of antibiotics, not to self-medicate,
right,
given by a doctor to be taken during the time. It is not foolish to have even go so far as do what the Israelis do to basically close off all their windows and doors with pretty heavy plastic, you know, tape it with duct tape.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get out, you can't flee. You can certainly keep most of what's outside from coming inside, even to blocking off your dryer vent with a HEPA filter and the chimney, etc. I mean, anything that's open to the outside. But if you cordon off a bedroom, let's say, and a bathroom, and you've got, you know, some stuff to last, your water, your food, obviously you use your bathroom facilities. That means, you know, obviously you've got to have electricity if you're on a pump or something for your water well, etc. But if you've got your water stored, you can flush the toilet. You can maintain a relative decorum of sanity when around you there will be total insanity.
Yeah, let me ask about that. If it turns into a Mad Max sort of scenario and you isolate yourself, perhaps in the manner you talk, and I expect to see, Steve, I expect to see a lot of people moving out of the cities.
Oh, I do too.
Since September 11th, I think you're going to find that there is a bigger exodus than ever from the cities to rural areas where you perhaps would have a better chance. Do you?
Well, and by the way, that's one of the things that's happening. A unique anecdote. I talked to a real estate lady the other day, and I'm in Montana, and she basically said, I was talking to a gentleman on the phone in New York as a World Trade Center was going up, and he was saying to her, he said, look, I'm overlooking this. I'm on the whatever 50th floor of another building. He says, I'm out of here. What have you got? So the point is that I think you're identifying a trend. The next major biological incident or terrorist incident, I think people are going to flee the cities because they got to realize that, and I know some people say, well, I've got my job. And I say, well, it may come down to your job or your life. What's more important? And with the unemployment rising, maybe the issue of a job isn't going to be that much, on the forefront much longer.
Boy, you know something else? People can feel this happening. All of a sudden, people are not wanting to be alone. The marriage stats are going through the roof. And I guess people just feel like this is not a time to be alone, and I understand that. Listen, I'm also getting confirmation of what you said about the outbreak of Ebola in Afghanistan. Keith, if you'll check my fast blast, please. There are two references to articles at yahoo.com confirming what Steve has said about Ebola in Afghanistan. Pick one of them and add a link up there for us, if you would, please. So that's a true story, Ebola in Afghanistan. That sounds really, really sounds like a message.
Yeah, and it was before we were there, so it isn't something we've been doing. And, you know, Art, I think this is really important. You know, you brought out on a show, do you remember when you brought out Presidential Decision Directive, I think it was 63, where the United States would sustain nuclear hits before retaliating?
That's right.
You know, that was probably the most important, far-reaching bit of information, in my opinion, for the whole year, because people didn't get the full weight of what that was. I remember Keith put it up on your website.
Yep.
That is probably something that most people still don't understand. And how that affects us right now is that we now know, and there are people that are, I guess you'd call it a matter of conscience, they're scared to death, or they want to right the wrongs they've done in their life. The point is, they're talking about how many of those backpacks, which are basically tactical nuclear weapons, 1 kiloton or less, that are in this country pre-positioned. 2 years ago, Louis Freeh, when he was still director of the FBI, went on record as saying that they were pre-positioned and strategically located nuclear weapons in this country left over from the Cold War. You know what? Not one talking head or anybody asked the question, have you guys done anything to locate them and to dismantle them?
No, they don't emit radiation, so the people who chase these kinds of things can't find them.
Correct. But there were a whole lot of people that basically were broke and left over from the intelligence community days that, you know, for $5 million, I'm sure would point them out.
Steve, if there was a biological attack on the United States and you saw it coming your way, you had time, CNN broke the news, but you knew it was going to spread, and you had time to isolate yourself, you lived in the country, let's say, and you could seal up a room, even in the city, I guess you could do that, and you had some provisions. I guess it would depend on the disease, but how long would a person have to isolate themselves to ride something like this out?
Well, you know, all we know is what we know about the existing biological weapons.
Right.
Now, most of them break down with ultraviolet and sunlight, you know, at temperatures. Hot is better in most of the cases. But the point is that you're probably looking at a minimum of 7 days.
Seven days.
And Art, one other thing.
Well, that's doable, at least.
That is doable. It's not like, you know, it's not like having to sit out,
nuclear fallout.
And obviously that's dependent upon the degree of fallout in your location. But the thing that most people need to understand is that most of these agents respond. In other words, you can use bleach, you know, normal Clorox bleach.
Right.
And the military uses that in a slurry. They mix it up with soap, and then they basically spray it down and hose it down. Now, there's a couple of gentlemen that have developed a new method for taking all this stuff apart. They basically superheat, deionize water to about 720 degrees. Obviously, you couldn't spray this on someone, but you could spray it in the air around you. And then they pressurize it at 3,200 PSI, about the same tank pressure as a scuba tank.
Yes.
And it's kind of an interesting technology. Also, there is electronic technology out there, similar to the Rife generators and others, that can basically electromagnetically distort the cells and break them up.
Right, but people, I'm thinking of the average person.
Yeah, the average person has got to deal with basically sealing themselves and basically having just the simplest.
So, all right. Hold on, Steve. We'll get back into this, what the average person can do. I'm really hot on that one, since I'm basically an average person. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell, and we're talking about what's going on out there, and I suppose what might go on out there.
And
take a ride? Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 775-727-1222 or call the wildcard line at 775-727-1295. To talk with Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
We're going to talk with Stephen Quayle in a moment about what the average person can do, a little more of that, because there's an awful lot of us average people out there. I don't have a gas mask, do you? His book, written in 1996, is called Breathe No Evil. And you can get it for $20. We'll get the number to you again. If you'll go to my website and go to tonight's guest info, you'll see the name Stephen Quayle there. And then below it, you will now see, I'm sorry to confirm, two links regarding what happened in Afghanistan. One is from Newsmax.com and the other is from Yahoo. One is entitled Killer Virus Hits Pakistan's Afghan Frontier. And the other is entitled Is Ebola Epidemic in Afghanistan Bin Laden's Work? Question mark. Gee, I hadn't heard of any of this before. Had you? It does indeed sound an awful lot like a message, doesn't it? Stay right where you are. All right, Steve Quayle's book, Breathe No Evil, is available for $20. He self-publishes. The number is 1-800-424-7870. 1-800-424-7870. And I guess you can call right now. Steve, let's talk again for a second about the average person. I mean, there are people in apartments and condos and high-rise apartment buildings and every manner of housing you can imagine. I want to know exactly how that person should prepare. Food, water, the ability to isolate oneself. What should you have on hand?
Well, first of all, you've got to take care of the immediate threat. The immediate threat means you're going to have to cover all windows and doors with plastic and duct tape, and that's what the Israelis do, and they live with this art over their head every day.
So in other words, they prepare not your, I mean, you can't do this to your
right.
whole house.
I'm talking about those who are sedentary, cannot move.
Right.
I say if you live in a city, you might want to consider moving, going to a relative's a place, or a friend's place, and I'm saying that they should probably be considering that now, because again, the Russians have even given the time period that they want their diplomats out of the country and everything. They're saying 21 to 30 days. So
right.
that started last Wednesday. The next thing they should do is they should go to a doctor, call a doctor, get a name of a doctor to get a prescription. There's inexpensive antibiotics, penicillin, PenVK, amoxicillin, some of that stuff. A whole month's worth is only going to be about $30. That's a lot better than $500 to $600 for Cipro.
Okay.
And obviously that if they have an allergy to a specific antibiotic and know it, they need to get something like if they're allergic to penicillin, they can go into the
right.
tetracycline derivatives.
Steve, quickly, let me ask you. They make such a big deal about Cipro, but at the same time, say doxycycline or whatever is another good way to treat it. Is it as good as Cipro? Why is Cipro talked about more than anything else? Is it stronger?
Cipro is stronger, and it's a whole different family of drugs. By the way, according to Ken Allebeck, the Russian version of anthrax is basically will not respond to Cipro. They made it basically, they've genetically engineered it so that it's pretty much immune to about 10 antibiotics, ciprofloxacin or ciprofloxacin being one of them it's immune to.
Why do the Russians, out of curiosity, officially say they want their diplomats out?
Well, Art, I got to tell you something. I think that it goes back to what their lady who is so accurate predicted. She knows there's going to be additional attacks on this country.
No.
I'm
asking, what are they saying officially? I mean, such an action is obviously going to be considered to be provocative. I consider it quite provocative.
Right.
So that, what are they covering with? Why are they saying they're doing this?
Well, they basically are on record as stating due to the potential threat for terrorism in the United States. That article, by the way, again, is on Newsmax.com.
So they're actually saying that.
Yes, they're actually declaring that.
Aye, aye, aye.
And that's another link I think that would be really important.
All right, so anyway, listen, you live in an apartment. So what do? You get duct tape, you get large plastic to cover things with. You prepare one room, probably, right?
Correct.
All right, and if you've got to spend 7 days in this room, you're going to need food and water. I've got that much. What else?
Well, basically, you're going to also need, and I recommend this strongly, you're going to need a shortwave radio, because you're going to need to be informed of what's going on, and depending on, you know, if the radio AM and FM, maybe everybody abandons them or whatever, international shortwave radio is still going to be a good way to, you know, communicate and be kept up. Now,
it's true. I wonder what would happen to the broadcasters in America, even myself. I mean, I depend on a zillion people to get this broadcast nationwide, obviously, and all of that could break down very quickly.
Right, so you're going to have to resort to other, data input coming in, because I can tell you this, most people aren't going to stick around in radio stations,
yeah,
especially depending on, you know, where it's going to be.
So in other words, the ability to receive long distance broadcasts like shortwave, important, all right? What else?
Very important. Food that's easily prepared. Obviously, you're not going to be able to have frozen food if the power goes out, and again, you're talking about so much of the infrastructure not being there for you. I think what people need to recognize is that water, they're going to need, and this is something that people don't get, they're going to need at least a couple gallons a day just for the basics. A couple, you know, some people say 1 gallon a day. No way. You're going to need 2 to 3 gallons per person per day.
Okay.
And that should be stored, and also a portable water filter, because if a person has to move, and let's say, you know, you got to basically be moving from where you're going to where you're going to go to, and I recommend that people get, most people don't even know back roads, even, you know, they're used to traveling the freeways if they are mobile. I'm not talking about now people who are sedentary that have to stay in their apartments or their high rises or whatever, but most people don't know alternative routes out of the city. I think that's a number one criteria, because you've got to understand that the main roads, meaning the main highways and freeways, will most likely either be blocked or be, you know, cut off. I think that's a real important point.
Yeah, and the attack is probably almost certainly going to be in a city, isn't it?
Yes.
They wouldn't attack a low population density area. If you wanted to let Ebola go, for example, which burns like wildfire, you'd want it in a high population density area, right?
Yeah, and let's just take L.A., okay? Obviously, if they release it in Los Angeles, the winds are going to carry it east, so, you know, people are going to obviously have to realize which way the winds blow typically at the time of year. And if they're blowing to the south, they head north. If it's blowing to the north, they head south.
Mm-hmm.
And what we haven't dealt with, and this is a really...
It's kind of a difficult choice in the sense that, as you pointed out, the highways are going to immediately get congested and maybe even useless. So if you have a choice of, A, do I stay right here and sort of isolate myself and try to get through this thing with enough supplies, or run like hell, it's a hard choice to make, because running might cause you to sit out on the highway behind 5 million cars while whatever it is catches up to you.
And that's exactly why I'm saying you want to avoid the highways and freeways. See, that's a decision that each person has to decide. Some people say if you stay where you're at, and you prepare where you're at, you have a greater chance, because then you're not in harm's way, you're not subject to breakdowns, looting, all the other things that come with panic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something that people have to decide. I think most people will pretty much move, as you just stated earlier, when they see whatever the event is going to transpire. That's when most people will become, let's say this, very mobile. Those who are going to go are going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, again, you know, that has a tendency. What we're trying to do is prevent panic. And I think, again, that people can do what they need to do. Let's go on to other things. You're going to need a basic first aid kit. Most people don't even have the basics. And, you know, the basics, and obviously, you know, just for whatever reason, you know, they need to have a basic understanding of first aid. And that's something they can get out of books and on the internet.
And I suppose if you have a medical condition, you're going to want to stock up on whatever it is you would need that you might not be able to get.
Exactly, especially if you've got a heart condition or diabetics or whatever. See, here's the thing. The FBI is currently announcing, and you've probably seen these stories, that they're worried about all these trucks that basically there have been a lot of Middle Easterners getting commercial licenses illegally.
That's
to
right.
Drive hazardous hazardous waste trucks and hazardous material trucks, et cetera, et cetera. We've all heard the stories of trucks with rocket fuel disappearing. So the first situation involving trucks, I would say that part of the country is could basically count on having their roads closed almost instantly. They'll do the same thing to the roads they did to the airports. And that was a pretty shocking event. Remember, that had never happened before in the history of the United States aviation.
Well, let me read you a fax I got. It says, Art, I worked in the water utilities industry. We all received this letter, which he's enclosed, following with a form to fill out. Thought you'd be interested. And it says, AWWA Security Advisory, Employee Screening, Utilities, release date, immediate. Employee screening. EPA has made arrangements with the FBI to conduct background checks of utility employees, and EPA urges, quote, utilities to conduct such screening, and quote, to do this, utilities would request a background check and forward the following information to the FBI for each employee to be screened, and then all the information they would use to check on you. And I guess I want to ask about our water supply. No trivial matter. They're obviously, if they're issuing this kind of thing, they're worried about the water supply, right?
Multiple stories. That's a big concern because obviously most of these biological pathogens can be transmitted in the water, especially bubonic plague, especially, smallpox and the derivatives, especially that people in a major metropolitan area. A lot of the municipal water supplies now have put armed guards around them, and that's a good move. What that fax that you just got or email, that's what needs to happen in the food industry, too, because there are a lot of people that have access, let's say, to dairies and to food packaging plants that should have background checks on them, too. But you see, Art, this is kind of like, again, this is reactive. It's not proactive. Mm-hmm. And the question everybody has to ask, is it too late?
I'm almost ready for anything after what's happened since September 11th. I've got to say, I'm almost ready for the kind of horrible headline that we're discussing this morning, that it will begin shortly.
And I think that that's a sense that a lot of people have, and it's interesting, isn't it, that the more people you talk to, I mean, it doesn't matter in what area of life or employment or whatever, everybody's got that sense of foreboding.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, what's happened, and I don't think people understand this, the United States has been attacked in such a way that it's not even going to be a prolonged, you know, we've heard the president talk about and Rumsfeld and Colin Powell and all these guys that this is going to go on and on and on for years. Not so. This thing is going to escalate rather quickly. And the point is that at some point, the decision, at a point in time, the decision will have to be made. We're going to stop this thing. If we don't stop it, and again, Art, they know exactly who's got what strains of what. If we don't send them the ultimatum that Israel has given to all of those who would use weapons of mass destruction, I fear that the numbers of people that are going to be lost in this country are going to be beyond even what Senator Frist says. He's saying 2 million. Representative Shays saying that, interesting quote of his, he's just saying that he wishes it weren't true, but he knows it's going to happen. Anything they can get their hands on, they will use. So that sense that you have is being echoed by people who are sitting in on all these intelligence briefings and gatherings. And that's, I think, the truth. People know something big is getting ready to happen.
Steve, it was a week or two ago, the FBI did something unprecedented. They issued a general warning saying, we know or we believe there is an attack about to be made in the next few days. Do you think they were referring to what has now occurred already with the anthrax? Or do you think that they know something else?
Absolutely they know something else. Every day the president is presented with the intelligence briefings called a threat matrix, Art.
Mm-hmm.
And that threat matrix is composed of all of the different intel from all the different sources, and basically it's rated, it's categorized as to what's immediate, is there multiple verification. They have a massive amount of criteria, and based on that, I was told quite candidly by someone that it had nothing to do with the anthrax. They were expecting something else. And when I asked the individual, I said, are they expecting something very dramatic? He said, absolutely. You know, there are a lot of people that are coming, when I say clean, there are a lot of people now who are very upset about what's happened in this country, not only World Trade Center, but the anthrax thing, because see, this is so big. This is a This is a country-changing event. My fear is that they're going to take away all of our civil liberties. At the same time, they're going to avoid, just like the 14 Syrian pilots. Did you hear about those 14 Syrian pilots that went into Meacham Field in Dallas to learn how to fly airliners, and supposedly the FBI was notified and they did nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have 14 Syrian pilots learning how to fly airliners in the United States when Syria doesn't have a national airline? You know, there are things like that that absolutely confound me, because it appears like they're overlooking the obvious, and again, they're concentrating on the mundane, and I believe that they are just absolutely setting us up for some events by not dealing with what they have to deal with.
All right, we are presently conducting, in quotes, a war in Afghanistan, and we're going after bin Laden. We're doing nothing as of yet in Iraq, nor anywhere else that I'm particularly aware of. So, you know, a lot of people are asking and wondering where the war is going. In other words, are we about to snuff out these bastards, or are we just crazy? We're not snuffing them out, and as much as we're trying to do the best we can, there's still a whole world out there, right?
Right, and I think we're approaching it in a wrong way. We're approaching it in classical military terms. The Russians got beat in Afghanistan. They had the Spetsnaz, their crack forces. They couldn't overcome the Afghanis in their own territory. And I think that we're going about this all wrong. You cannot fight unconventional warfare. And, you know, they talk about all these unconventional warfare trained special forces, Delta Team, and et cetera, yet they throw them into a conventional situation. We have to basically give the ultimatum. We have to say one more attack with any weapon of mass destruction, you guys are history. And I'd even do it humanely for all the bleeding hearts out there. I'd say, watch your desert. And I would explode a nuclear weapon away from everyone, you know, out in the desert, and say, now walk. You guys stop it now. You give us bin Laden or, you know, you're toast. Now someone says, oh, that's extreme. I'll tell you what's extreme. Crashing fuel laden passenger, aircraft into the World Trade Center and then attacking this country at a weak moment with biological weapons. I think that's really extreme. I think that's an act of war, and it has been the United States policy, and I don't know that it is being implemented yet, that if any nation were to launch an attack upon us with weapons of mass destruction, we would retaliate. And I don't believe that there's any way around it, Art, and I think anybody who wants to try and approach it, quote, in a more civil way, is kidding themselves and opening us up to massive death.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid I don't really disagree with you. I just, I guess I'm in shock that we got here so quickly, Steve. I mean, it was, you know, science fiction. It was scare stuff not very long ago. And now all of a sudden it's here, and it hasn't sunk in, and it's here really fast, and it's here right now.
And everything is speeding up, and that's what people see. I think that people emotionally and psychologically, this whole thing hasn't really hit us yet.
I know.
And I think that even, you know, when a loved one passes away, there's a time of mourning and everything. And when I see the smoke rising still from the World Trade Center's foundation, etc., it just absolutely, you know, breaks my heart. And it breaks my heart because, number one, Art, I believe it was preventable. Number two, I believe that unless we act now and act quickly, and I believe everyone should write their senators, congressmen, email them, fax them, demanding that something be done. And also, I'm really encouraging people to become active in demanding from their representatives a civilian defense program, because quite candidly, what good is a defense department if it can't protect the citizens that are paying its taxes to defend it?
All right, Steve, you've laid it out. What I'd like to do is open the lines for the audience, if that'd be all right,
sure.
In the hour coming up. You want to do that?
Sure.
All right. Then I've had my time with Steve Quayle. Now comes your time. Coming right up, we're going to open the lines, and any questions you would like to ask, you're welcome to. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM, roaring through the nighttime with you.
I hear the drums echoing tonight, and she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation.
Talk Radio 710 KCMO.
She's coming in 12:30 flights. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me toward salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some.
In the Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. Or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
It is. My guest is Steve Quayle. And let me read you a little bit of one of the references he made that we now have as a link under his name. You just go to my website, artbell.com, in case you don't believe this. And go to program tonight's guest info under the name Steve Quayle. Click on one of the two links to Yahoo or to Newsmax.com. Reading just a bit from that story. Listen to this, folks. What has been described as the largest outbreak in history, this was written October 4th, the largest outbreak in history of lethal Ebola is killing Pakistanis in a city that borders on Afghanistan, raising the possibility that the epidemic is the work of Osama bin Laden. The disease, which causes victims to bleed to death with blood oozing out of every bodily orifice, is rampaging through the Pakistani city of Quetta. According to Britain's Daily Telegraph, at least 75 people have been felled by the outbreak. 8 victims died as of this writing. All the victims were either recent arrivals from Afghanistan or lived close to the frontier between that nation and Pakistan. According to Daily Telegraph correspondent Tim Butcher, there is evidence that the outbreak started in Afghanistan, which harbors terrorist chieftain bin Laden, known to be seeking biological weapons for use against America and the West. It sure does sound unlikely that that would have just occurred, doesn't it? And it really, the whole thing sounds more like a message to me than anything else. I wonder if it was received. All right. On that note, in a moment, we'll get back to Steve and your calls.
KCMO.
All right. Once again, here is Steve Quayle. Steve, let me plug your book one more time. It's called Breathe No Evil. He self-publishes. You cannot get this at Amazon. The only place you can get it is from Steve. It's $20, $20. That's all. Number's 1-800-424-7870. You can call that right now. Your answering service is good right now, right?
Correct.
All right. So you'll call everybody back?
We call everybody back. If it's 1,000 calls, we call them back. If they will leave their name and phone number, obviously we'll get back to them.
Okay. Oh, we've got an alarm going off here. Wonderful. That's 1-800-424-7870. And I'll tell you what. All right, there we go. We've cleared it. So let's go to the phones, and let's say hello, line one. You're on the air with Steve Quayle.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Deborah from Memphis.
Hello, Deborah. You're on the air with Steve Quayle.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having Mr. Quayle on. And I wanted to ask if you had some additional provisions you'd like to list for us. I am going to get your book, but I can't get through right now to your answering service.
Oh, it's busy?
Probably jammed up.
Terribly.
Oh,
I've been
okay.
trying for 30 minutes.
I see. All right.
Well, number one, are you asking if I sell additional provisions? Or?
No. I'm just asking you if you can mention some. I've written down about 10 of them that you've mentioned on the air so far.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me just run through it by category. I believe at this point you've got to basically take care of the biological and chemical implications. And so if you're so inclined, that means suit, mask, gloves. I can't do anything about antibiotics. You got to get a hold of your doctor. But you need your food. You need your water filter. A water filter is really important because you may have to, filter water that everyone else would normally just walk through depending on what circumstances you find yourself in. And, if you want, ma'am, by the way, in my book, Breathe No Evil, I list all of this stuff by category. So it's in a tabular or index form. So,
okay.
It's all included in the book in an appendix, everything from nuts to bolts.
Wonderful. Well, I will definitely be reading it.
And also, if the phones stay jammed up, please feel free to call us in the morning. I'll have four people answering the phones and, be patient. I'm sorry because there are a lot of people really wanting to get the information, I think correctly so, because the time is now.
Oh, I understand. I wish I had known about this in 1996, and since the demise of the Spotlight magazine, I can't get any real news anymore.
All right.
So thank you for mentioning Newsmax.com.
All right. Thank you for calling, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Steve Quayle. Hi.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Art.
Hi.
Hi, it's Robert from Los Angeles. I'm sort of like James plagued with that weird knowing of when things are going to occur. And my family's the same way, too. My mom predicted on your prediction thing, I think she was 21, about the airplanes hitting the city. If you play it back, you'll hear it. And I stopped myself from saying what I was going to say that night because I was 14. I just...
All right. Well, anyway, do you have a question for Steve?
Yes, Steve. I'm predicted. I've purchased a while back the NBC stuff because I know something's going to happen in L.A. like you're aware of. And I'm sure you're aware a few hours right after the buildings were hit, our CIA and intelligence blew up areas in Afghanistan where they had facilities of biological weapons there, and that's where the spread came from. Are you aware of that?
Well, I am aware of that, but I can share this with you. Where the facilities that were blown up is a great, it's a distance from the area where we're talking about the Ebola or Crimean hemorrhagic fever, same thing as Ebola, where that broke out. So I'm not so sure that those two are related, but I do believe Bin Laden was behind it to send a message to the Pakistanis
sure.
and to all the resistance around him that he's got that stuff and watch out. I think that's his way of posturing.
That's correct. In the news, it was on the news, Art. You sort of just missed it because they were talking about there's a guy reporting in the background. He's going, you hear explosions in the background? He was saying, and they tried to quiet that up.
I saw that. All right, I appreciate the call, sir. Yeah, I saw that. I think, though, what I did not see was this Ebola outbreak. I guess it hit the news, but it seems to me all the talking heads ought to be talking about this. And asking, it seems like it's tailor-made for them, is this a message? What do we know about this outbreak, if anything? It does seem like a clear message. What a strange place for Ebola to break out. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Steve Quayle. Hello.
Yes, Art. Hello, Art.
Hi.
Steve. Yes, I've read a book some years back. It was written by an author by the name of William Cooper, Behold a Pale Horse.
Yes.
It was written in 1991 referring to George Bush and his son eventually becoming president of the United States.
Yes.
And kind of foretells the beginning of an end as well. What I was wondering is, due to the extreme measures which need to be taken in Afghanistan, do you think that possibly some of this could be some kind of covert operation like with disease control inside the government or inside our countries, allowing us to use more extreme measurements on their country?
Well, let me share this. I would say that most people probably know by now that basically Osama bin Laden was trained and funded by the CIA. And in the world of spooks, there's counter agents, there's counter agents, there's quadruple crossing agents. I think the point is there, the people who ultimately benefit from the destabilization of the United States are defined enemies who have basically been working overtime to destroy the country. You know, in history, the statement's always been made that the United States would not fall from an external source, but from an internal surrender. And I think that there are, if you will, rogue elements that are delighting in this because it provides them the ability to initiate some pretty draconian measures and take away the freedoms of those of us and those of you who are listening to this radio program. I think the thing I worry about the most is the suspension of the Constitution under a national state of emergency. It seems to me like there's more effort being generated that way than there is in taking on the bad guys, and I think that's a real clue that there is something rotten in Rome.
Yeah, but Steve, how else do they react? I mean, to be fair, how else do they react other than to restrict freedoms with additional security? Additional security is going to mean a restriction of freedoms, period.
Well, I don't mind the restriction of some freedoms, Art, but let's take the issue, okay, of all of the people that are in this country illegally, and I'm talking now pretty much.
Yeah, I know there's a lot. I know there's a lot of them. But I want to hit you with that question.
Right.
I want an answer to it. In other words, if you were in charge right now and you were trying to protect the American people, Steve, what the hell else would you do? You'd begin ordering security at airports. You'd begin checking people's IDs. You'd have to begin doing those kinds of things that we probably should have been doing for some time. And
that's the point that I'm trying to make, okay? The point is, under the Janet Reno attorney generalship, Art, all the things that, and by the way, I don't disagree with what the FBI is doing. I believe they're doing a great job in what they're doing. But what I'm saying is they have to be given the freedom to go beyond that. For instance, just the incident of 14 Syrian pilots in Dallas may not sound like a big deal to most people, but the people who have the flight schools notified the FBI and said something's up here.
Yeah.
And I think they have to start with the Immigration and Naturalization Service, because there are a whole heck of a lot of people in this country that basically are making statements that, you know, death to America, death to the great Satan.
Yeah, and that's another question. Steve, how many sleepers would you guess there are in this country right now, perhaps controlled by bin Laden, perhaps others? How many sleepers, people prepared to act with some sort of mass terror?
I'd say several thousand.
Several thousand?
Several thousand. Listen, we brought in 3,500 Iraqis who under, you know, after the Gulf War, and of those 3,500, it's safe to assume that a number of them obviously were double agents. You know, we gave basically political asylum to them and brought them into this country. The Russians have had sleepers in this country. Spetsnaz has had sleepers in this country. And Sean David Morton interviewed one time Oleg Kalugin, former head of the GRU, Soviet Military Secret Police, and he said that the Russians had literally hundreds of sleepers in this country. The point is, did they pull them out? So what I'm saying, Art, is that there are a lot of Chinese sleepers, there are Russian sleepers, there are Iranians. So again, it's kind of like, I guess you'd say, a cornucopia of sleepers, and that's why I put the number at what I do.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Steve Quayle. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're on the air. Where are you?
This is Joe. My name is Joe. I'm calling you from East Los Angeles.
Okay.
How are you? Listen, you spoke with Richard C. Hoagland last night, and he named that there's a department by the name of nanobiology in the University of Michigan.
You're referring to the nanobomb, yes.
Nanobomb, using
yes.
Nanobots
right.
to fight off anthrax.
Right.
The person in charge is Dr. Baker.
Right.
And he also gave a fax number for Tommy Thompson of
yes.
Health and Human Services.
Yes, sir.
I wonder if I could put that out before you know.
No, I prefer you don't, just
okay.
in case we get it wrong.
That's perfectly fine. I was wondering if your guest is aware of that.
All right. Let's find out. Are you aware of this so-called nanobomb, this thing that it's not futuristic. It's not on the planning boards. It's real. It's available now. And it's some sort of nanotechnological bomb that will literally destroy these evil viruses.
Right. I saw it on Richard Hoagland's website last night, Art.
Yes.
And I went into it, and, you know, nanotechnology, you know, basically building from the molecular level up, I think that's a great way to attack it. I'm not familiar enough at this point with the technology to comment on it, but it's, you know, when you're dealing with something on that level of a nanite level, I think it's a very effective means, and I think it's going to prove to be, you know, a great, great weapon against this kind of stuff. Because as they get more technically sophisticated and more gruesomely deadly, I think it's going to be important that we look at those technologies and implement them as quickly as possible. Unfortunately, a lot of this stuff, you know, DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects, you know, they're working on this stuff too. And the thing is that because a lot of it's top secret, I'm not suggesting this is, but there are areas of nanotechnology that are, and I think that they'd better integrate this stuff as quickly as possible, because if it's already functional, it needs to be integrated as quickly as possible.
All right. First time caller line, you're on the air with Steve Quayle. Hello.
Yes, hello. My name's Harry. I'm from St. Louis.
Yes, Harry.
I've been screaming about this for 14 years, since 1987. I agree with every single thing that your guest has said. My question is, last week I called the FBI asking about becoming involved in civilian defense and was literally brushed off. Said, leave it up to the young studs who are out there now. We haven't called them all up yet. I'm an ex-Marine with Vietnam experience, plus the fact I have a business here, and I feel that I could contribute quite a bit to civil defense, and was brushed off.
I guess Steve is not going to be surprised by that, are you, Steve?
No, I'm not. I think that Harry and men like him and women like him are probably one of the greatest resources in this country that could be called upon immediately to come to the aid of the country, especially in civil defense. I'm pushing Art personally, calling representatives, senators, everyone, screaming at the top of my lungs, look, you guys need to implement it. You can do a crash course with it. There are multi-talented people out there, Marines, Army, Navy, whoever, that would be more than willing and are willing to sacrifice to do it. I don't believe the young studs can do it. They don't have the historical perspective that Harry has. They don't know what it takes to do it. And quite candidly, I just don't believe they have a reference point that's valid enough to be able for them to integrate it. It goes for the same thing of former intelligence officers. I believe the CIA, you know, has gotten into the mess it's got in because they had the Clinton crew appointing the head, and they wanted to have a politically correct intelligence community. I believe the salvation of the intelligence community is to pull all the guys who would come back, and I think many of them would willingly, out of retirement, who knew how to run an intelligence organization.
Steve, let me ask you this. I've got a fast blast operation here, which means I take questions on my website from listeners in real time. One of them is saying, look, bad as the whole thing in New York and Washington was, and the anthrax that's going on, I think they've taken their best shot, and I don't think we should be looking for anything more to happen.
Well, quite candidly, you know, I think that's rather naive in lieu of the fact that, again, this is a declaration of jihad. Again, I would say that the person that sent that to you does not understand the tenets of fundamental radical Islam and how they see the United States. Also, we are now blasting the snot out of a lot of the Talibanese. We've killed Omar's son. And so the point is I don't believe that the person that sent that has a realistic attitude. They are not going to continue to give the alerts and keep the alert level up, because, Art, that wears a lot of men and material and resources down. The alert is there because it's real. Look, you and I both know that the press, we've just talked about it, is going overboard to draw the attention to smallpox. There are some very, very bright men out there who are former intelligence officers who are saying, and quite candidly, here's what they tell me, we haven't seen anything yet. No. Do we assume that everything's fine and just let our guard down, or do we prepare for a worst-case scenario, give the ultimatums to the antagonists, and then, you know, take it from there? I believe that to say they've taken their best shot is incredibly naive and will be proven wrong.
Mm-hmm. I tend to agree. I just thought I would pass the question
sure.
on.
Sure. And I mean, I'm just answering the question.
Yes, and you answered it properly, in my opinion. All right. We'll break here at the bottom of the hour. We'll continue to take calls for Steve Quayle, whose book is Breathe No Evil. You can only get it from him, and I'll give you information one more time in a few moments on how to do that. Stay right there.
Radio 710 KCMO. Of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nine.
It is, and you are hearing things here tonight that you obviously will not hear elsewhere. This is Coast to Coast AM. Steve Quayle will be right back.
KCMO.
Well, all right, back to it right away. Once again, here's Steve Quayle and his book, Breathe No Evil, $20. He self-publishes. You can get it at 1-800-424-7870. Now, if you can't get that number tonight because it's locked up busy, try it tomorrow. 1-800-424-7870. Back to the phone lines. First time caller line, you're on the air with Steve Quayle. Hi.
Is that me, Art?
That's you.
Okay. I'm from Calgary, Alberta. Rick.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Gentlemen, hello, world. Prevailing winds for North America come from the west. What is the best contagion to spread by air? Second.
Well, let's take them one at a time here.
Okay, sorry.
The best contagion to spread by air.
According to Byron Weeks, again, former, probably one of the most well-written, by the way, medical doctors on it, is smallpox, anthrax, and bubonic plague have all had 20 years of development, so they're all aerosolized, so any one of a numerous biological pathogens are going to be spread that way.
All right.
Number two, what's the best contagion to spread by water, headwaters, our major rivers, our Great Lakes?
Yeah.
I'll listen off air. Thank you, gentlemen. Good night, world.
Yeah, good night. All right. Yeah, by water, what would the answer be?
Well, if some of the chemical agents, and we've pretty much talked about biologicals, although, you know, obviously bubonic plague can be transmitted, you know, by dead animal matter, the fleas, etc. Some of the chemical agents that the Russians developed are called Novichok, which means newcomers, or a binary, where 500 pounds can kill 500,000 people. Those are the ones that would most likely be used in a, you know, headwaters type situation, because they're, number one, they're not water soluble, and number two, they specifically developed those with the sleepers in mind that they could pretty much poison the water systems of this nation. That was obviously a Cold War scenario. So biologicals would most likely be used, you know, in an aerosol form. Chemical agents would be used in water, non-water soluble chemical agents.
Boy, you know, the Cold War sure does. I mean, they really are the good old days now when we thought we'd blow each other to hell and back with nuclear weapons. Those were really the good old days because everybody knew that it would be suicidal. The entire world would get poisoned, and it held us all back. Now, we don't have that kind of enemy. We've got a new enemy, and surely a new kind of threat that's much worse than the cold. At least in the Cold War years, you knew everybody'd blow everybody to hell. Now, I guess maybe we have to consider a warning of the kind you were talking about. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Steve Quayle.
Hi, good morning, Art, and good morning, Steve. And Art, you're right. You're not going to get this information anywhere, and I thank God that both of you guys are just bringing the information forward without trying to make us feel better. And I know you're going to get probably tons of email and criticism saying you two guys are, you know, hysterical. And
oh, you know, I think that, you know what? I think that might have been the case prior to September 11th.
Right.
I doubt it's the case now.
No, I appreciate you guys are bringing us back into reality. Oh, one quick thing before I get to my question is that Ebola story from 10-4. The reason why that thing got killed is because when they brought that story out, if you track it down, the next story that followed from the CDC and from other information, the government sources said, oh, no, that happens all the time at this time of year around the border.
Really?
That's not true, by the
way. I know. I understand that. Okay, my question being this, what's coming next? You know who Colonel David Hackworth is?
Yes.
And Dr. Kuntz, I think, was actually a guest on Art Bell, if I'm not mistaken. Have you seen what Hackworth has on his site regarding Kuntz, who tracked down one of the terrorists who was a painter, and he has this series of paintings that literally takes you almost step by step all the way down to what we're going to be facing next, and it's not really anthrax. I think the next thing is what you're talking about, Steve, and thank God you brought it up, is that we're going to be hit by something, and it might be children, might be the target next. Have you seen that? Can you comment on that at all?
I have not seen it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Real quick, one thing. How come the Russians, when they invaded Afghanistan and killed over a million people, why didn't the Taliban and those people target the Russians? Why are they targeting us?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, they did target the Russians, and, you know, they basically wasted a lot of Russians, and, you know, Russia left Afghanistan. The point is at that time in history, if you think back, you know, you had the United States pretty much sponsoring the Afghanistan resistance, the Mujahideen, and the point being is that I think that bin Laden was biding his time, because he knew that, in essence, he had to deal with the Russians to get them out of there, and then he would be free to take on the United States.
Well, another reason, Steve, might be that the Russians have shown over the years how they will deal with terrorists.
Well, you know, right now, Vladimir Putin has, I don't know if you know this, Art, but Vladimir Putin has given us the go-ahead to use neutron weapons in Afghanistan. We, in turn, have given them permission to use neutron weapons, and that's kind of a weird thing. Why do we need each other's permission?
Well, I remember, Steve, when some Russians were kidnapped.
Right.
Back near the Iran troubles. And the Russians cut up the body parts of the family members of the terrorists and sent the body parts to them, and that ended that right there. Now, I'm not suggesting that that's what we do, because that's not us. We don't cut up body parts. But the kind of threat that you, or demonstration that you talked about, might be in order.
Well, I think it would send a real message, Art.
And oh,
the
yeah.
Bottom line,
send
the bottom line is that they would have to reference that. And I think, you know, even Saddam Hussein is as insanely enraged as he is. I think it would send a message to Iran, too, and Iraq. And by the way, Iran is up to their eyeballs in weapons development of chemical and biological nature as well as nuclear.
All right.
So what's interesting, and this is kind of, well, where we're going to get to, you know, I really think that when the president says we're going to go after all nations that are harboring, they're either on our side or not on our side. It'll be interesting to see how that's implemented, especially when it appears that most of the Middle East is turning against us.
Mm-hmm. It's certainly the right tact. I mean, the president has said the right things.
Yes, he has.
We'll certainly wait and see what happens. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Steve Quayle.
Hey, good morning, Art, Steve. This is John in Atlanta. You know, Jefferson once said, if you expect people to be ignorant and free, you expect what never was and will never be.
Mm.
Now, Art, your show is performing a great service in informing the people to knowledge that we're not getting in the mainstream media.
No, we're not.
And you know, we got to ask ourselves, are we as citizens collectively in this country and in the world, you know, informing ourselves? You know, and exercising our civic duties and doing like Steve says to keep our representatives' feet to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stay in contact with these people. We need to inform ourselves. We need to exercise our influence. Otherwise, they're going to be influenced by outside forces. You know, and this comes to my question, Steve. Do you believe that there are very powerful forces that have great influence that are operating within our intelligence agencies and our government, for that matter, the State Department and wherever, that has weakened our government and gotten us to this point, this great breakdown of intelligence that has brought us to the situation that we're in?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. Absolutely. You know, you remember the former director of Central Intelligence that got caught with having all of the top secret stuff on his laptop, and then
sure.
They found out that, you know, he'd been accessed by outside lines?
Yes.
The State Department has lost numerous top secret computers. I mean, you'd almost think, honestly, that the State Department, during the years that Madeleine Albright was Secretary of State, that it was a ship of fools. And I choose those words carefully because I think it was the Titanic trying to give the Lusitania suggestions on how to stay afloat.
Well, even large companies tend to be ships of fools, frankly. The bureaucracy gets so big, and if you multiply that by about a zillion, you might about get to what our U.S. government is, so it's a much bigger ship.
Right.
More fools. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Steve Quayle. Hello? Going once? Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. There you are. Go ahead.
Okay. My question is, with the upcoming holidays for the United States and around the world, do you think that the terrorists would actually look at, since we're all targets to them, the holidays as a means to unleash something horrendous on us?
Yeah.
I mean,
Ramadan is coming up around the corner, you know, and then of course, our holidays are just around the corner, so.
Well, we've got, what is it, Halloween, and I think they even look at children as targets.
Halloween, there was an email going around, it was a hoax.
It was a
hoax. With regard to Halloween, yes.
Yeah. But do you think that, you know, these sick people like that could actually do something like that, though?
Well, you could consider that, something awful in candy, and I'm sure this Halloween is not going to be a big candy year. You could even consider the fact that Afghanistan is a drug-producing nation. Is that not correct, Steve?
70% of the world's heroin comes from Afghanistan.
Yeah, and heroin is frequently snorted as well as injected, correct?
Correct. I mean, the heroin is you know, the drug of choice for the international drug trade to raise their illicit funds in which they go out and buy these type of weapons that we're talking about, Art.
Well, wouldn't that be an interesting way to distribute something awful in heroin?
Yeah, and obviously that gets back to the same, you know, the origin of AIDS with, you know, the World Health Organization, etc. You know, if you basically lace the drugs and then disseminate them throughout the country, and obviously you've got a pretty much indigenous drug-using population in this country, another good way to infect a massive amount of people.
Mm-hmm. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Steve Quayle. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. This is Jim from Torrance.
Yes,
good morning,
Jim.
Mr. Quayle. I've used every antibiotic that you've mentioned tonight over the last 2 years, including Cipro is the next to the last, and I think they're sort of keeping quiet about their absolute last for fear that we'll use it up too.
What is your point?
Well, I've also been denied my email access. So everything seems to be meshing together beyond coincidence.
You're suggesting there's a conspiracy that took away your email, sir?
No, they took it away for pure meanness, contraindicated.
Well,
I wasn't making political jokes.
Then, all right, goodbye. Get another provider would be my answer. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art, Steve. This is Tony from Portland, listening to KEX.
Yes.
Steve, one thing that you didn't mention, and it might be in your book, and I'm going to order your book tomorrow, but when you were talking about sealing off the house for as many as 7 days, I'm wondering what we would do for a fresh air source.
Well, that's a good question.
Would it also be nice to use plumbing?
Yeah. If you've got everything taped up, what do you do?
Well, first of all, Art, when you're going to do that, you're going to have to set up, you can get what's called a HEPA filter, which is high efficiency particulate filter.
Right.
And basically, you know, you're going to have a source of fresh air. And there are window kits like they make for air conditioners that you can seal the window.
Sure.
You put the filter in basically with a 6-inch pipe. And a little hand blower. I mean, this is what you got to do. This is what the Israelis do. You have to introduce fresh air into that. And that's about, the total price on that's about $100.
Where would you get one of those?
You can get them from heating and ventilation stores. You basically just go and say, I want a hand crank pump that'll do about 300 cubic feet a minute. And they have the flexible pipe. And then the air conditioning stores can sell you the window mounting kits.
Okay, and would it be wise to use plumbing during that time?
If you've got plumbing, yeah, it'd be wise because obviously, you know, you're not introducing anything in by flushing down. You know, this is an important issue. In any type of survival situation, sanitation is key, and it's a very important function.
Right.
So if you're in, let's say, the 50th floor and you've got auxiliary water, you can use, obviously, your toilet, and you can fill it up manually and flush it, so you've got something to flush. If they kill the electricity, which kills the water, in the sense of some people have, obviously, water pumps that are in their wells and stuff, then you're in a different situation.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right.
Great to hear you.
Thank you, and take care. The Russians, if people will search their memory banks, used, I believe, some bioweapons in Afghanistan when they were fighting the Afghanis, used them against Afghanis. Did they not, Steve?
Yes, they did.
Uh-huh.
And you know, the situation is, let's look at Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein used chemical agents against the Kurds. He also used them against the Iranians when Iraq and Iran were fighting their war.
That's right.
And, you know, again, I think what people just fail to recognize is these people do not look at life as the way we do, Art. You know, Western civilizations value life, respect life, and these guys basically are, you know, one step away from Allah and paradise at any point. And
well,
so,
yeah, actually, Steve, there was a statement from, I think, Bin Laden's camp that said that they look forward to death as Americans look forward to life.
Exactly.
All right, first-time caller line, you're on the air with Steve Quayle. Where are you calling from, please? Hello? Going once, going twice, gone. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Steve Quayle. Where are you, please?
Hey, Art, how you doing?
Okay.
Steve, we've got a question for you.
Turn your radio off, sir.
Okay, turn it down.
Turn it off.
Turn it off? Okay.
Yes, click off.
Question I'm calling is, Steve, In your book, do you have the detailed out on how to protect yourself against biological weapons?
Yeah, the book also has a section on everything from masks, suits, filters, the whole nine yards.
Well, great. That's what I wanted to know. I just left the email. I mean, message for you to call me on so I can order the book. And Art, I'm a new caller for you, and I enjoy the show. And
thank you.
Believe me, you got a lifetime fan.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Steve Quayle. Hello.
Hi there. You were talking.
Turn your radio off, please.
Okay, I'll have to get across the room here.
We'll wait.
Okay.
All right. Everybody have your radio next to you, so you don't have to go across the room. When you go on the air, there's a delay. It will make you sound like a confused person on the air.
You were talking a few minutes ago about the asteroid. What asteroid is it, and when will it get here?
All right. Good one. Really good one.
Well, you know, one of the things that scares the intelligence community out of their minds, this is from a couple of their agents, is the fact that, you know, they control a lot of events by controlling the information, the flow of information, the control of funds. The point on Gabriel's fist is that about Art 18 months ago or so, one of the gentlemen who was a scientist who basically was terrified got a hold of me and said, you've got to watch this. This is coming up. You know, Dr. Keller, the father of the hydrogen bomb, and
yes.
a group of scientists meet monthly, still meet monthly, at various universities to discuss this. And according to their statements to some people who have informed me of this, they're supposedly, Gabriel's Fist is supposedly, whether it's a 10th planet, as, you know, let's say common urban myth is talking about, or, you know, contemporary legend, the point is that they're really concerned with this object, and it's supposedly, you know, 9 months out from right now.
Hmm. That's the subject for a whole...
Right, that's a whole...
It's a whole other show.
Not related, but what I can say is this, is that right now we've got more problems to worry about than that. That's down the road. This is now.
Yeah, this is now. All right, Breathe No Evil is the book. It's $20. You can only get it by calling 1-800-424-7870. That's 1-800-424-7870. Be persistent. You will eventually get through. Any final words for everybody?
I think that, you know, knowledge is the best antidote for fear, and I would encourage everyone to hold their representatives and their senators' feet to the fire. I think they're more willing, Art. I believe the senators and congressmen are more willing now because it's real. The attack is now against them and not just us, meaning the people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're more sympathetic by the very nature of what's right before them.
You've got a good point.
And I think that, you know, we do it. We do it with emails. We do it with faxes. We do it with letters to the editor. And for those who have bucks out there, it's really important that they recognize that if they don't use their bucks to inform their fellow citizens and get the information out, that their money may not mean anything to them if this worst-case scenario unfolds.
All right, buddy. Great show. Thanks a million for being here.
Thank you so much, Art.
And good night.
Bye-bye.
All right. There you have it. Steve Quayle. What a great guest, huh? Just sort of laying it out the way it is. Right, listen, I am not accepting any snail mail at all, as many are not. Don't write to me, because it's not going to be read. I'm sorry about that, but these are the times that dictate that sort of thing. If you want to email me, I'm artbell@mindspring.com. That's artbell@mindspring.com. From the high desert, ta-ta.
Radio 710 KCMO.